It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. What a week! We had E3, we had WWDC, we had the surprise release of the OnePlus 3. We'll talk about it all. Georgia Dow is here. Oh, Dr. Owen J.J. Stone, Devendra Hardawar from Engadget. Stay tuned. A great TWiT is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 567, recorded Sunday, June 19th, 2016. More pocket, less socket. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/TWiT and using the promo code TWiT. And by GoToMeeting. Be a meeting MVP. GoToMeeting is the online meeting tool that lets you easily collaborate and present from anywhere with one click, so you always put on your best performance. Step up your meeting game and start your free 30-day trial at GoToMeeting.com. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device. Visit Gazelle.com today. And by Braintree. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with just one integration. Learn more at BraintreePayments.com/TWiT. It's time for TWiT! This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the latest tech news, and we've got the greatest tech panel assembled. It is always fun to have Devendra Hardawar here. He is a senior editor at Engadget. Good to see you, Devendra.
Good to see you, Leo. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. You're not a father, I don't think.
No. Soon, maybe.
Soon? Really? Anything you want to share with the...
No exclusive announcements.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's just getting around that time, so I have to start
It is.
Thinking,
You're that age. Thinking, yeah. Do you have a young lady in mind, or is it...
I do, yeah. I'm married, yeah.
Oh, good.
I've chosen somebody, yeah.
You have selected a partner. All right, now it's just about... You know what happens next. You do know that process.
I've heard.
Okay.
I've heard stories.
Yes. They tell stories. Also with us, great to have Georgia Dow once again from iMore.com in Montreal. Wonderful to see you. I hear you spent time with your dad today.
I did. It was wonderful.
Nice. That's wonderful. And a father himself, Dr. Owen J.J. Stone.
A.K.A. the best dad in the land.
I think
so
you are.
Says my Superman cup that's not focusing.
Wow.
See that?
Look at that.
Dad on it. It says
that's
Happy Father's
great.
Day on
that's
it.
That's nice.
It's got purple because she liked purple and I don't. Yeah. And then she signed on the bottom in case I get senile and forget who made it for me.
Who but is your saying, daughter? It says, well, it says right here on the bottom.
Yeah. It's Leia. You know, I mean, this is the last year, though. I think this is the last year I'm accepting these crappy handmade. I made you a picture frame with no picture in it because I figured you can take all the pictures. You select your own picture presents. Next year, she better come with some good stuff.
I think making you something is the highest.
No. Let's just start the show. Let's get this clear. Mother's Day, we got reservations. Parking lots are full. Everything sold out. Father's Day, I'm sitting on TV with you. Uncle Leo, this is what happens on Father's Day. Father's Day, you got to work and do stuff. Mother's Day, they get the lounge, they get feet rubs, they get little books with IOUs in it. It's got Superman on it, so I know she loves me.
Yeah.
But it's a mug. She gave me some pink Himalaya salt because we were over another friend's house.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a pretty nice gift.
Yeah.
They said, that's pink salt. And so for like 30 minutes, I kept saying, Himalaya, player. And so she got me some pink salt. But this is the last year I'm accepting gifts like this. I know she's up there and she hears me. She better come.
Leia, you need to come up with something. Help her out. What do you want?
I want what women get. I want reservations.
I want
to be wine and dine.
Dude, you're never getting what women get. Rubs.
Yeah.
I know.
Unfortunately, that's not what happened. Dad gave shortchanged.
Bernie's out,
shortchanged.
I want a revolution for fathers.
I got a tie for Father's Day. It's a bow tie. It's a clip-on. That's it right there. No, actually, I did not.
Father's Day, Uncle Leo, a text.
Actually, I got a text, and my daughter called me many times.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was...
She made up for the sun.
Yeah, yeah. I think the girls do make up for the sun often. Abby's in Mexico, so we couldn't spend Father's Day together. She's studying whatever that language is in Mexico. I think she needs to work harder on it, though, because she said, Happy Dia de las Papas, which I think, if I'm not wrong, means the day of the potatoes. So it's good she's studying.
She's almost there.
She has her vegetables down.
It was a big week. We got a lot to talk about. Where do you want to start? Should we start with WWDC?
Sure. Yeah,
and sure. Then we'll go to E3. There's a new phone from OnePlus. There's a victory in the net neutrality case. There's a lot to talk about. Let's start with WWDC. You did not get to go with the rest of the iMore crew, Georgia.
I was the only one that was left behind.
Oh, God, don't feel bad.
I don't mean to feel abandoned or anything, but no. Everyone else was there except for me. Yeah, I'm a little heartbroken. It's okay.
Wow.
And he has no passive aggression towards me. It's just...
Hey, yeah. At least they got invitations. I didn't even get an invitation. So you and I will sit back and we'll look from afar. It was not, you know, and this, by the way, we should mention this because we spend weeks before any Apple event talking about the rumors. And in this case, there was a lot of rumored hardware. There was a rumored new MacBook Pro. There were rumors about what else? I don't remember. There were some other rumors, none of which came true. Oh, there were rumors they were going to completely rewrite iTunes. No. And instead, it was all software. It was all about what really a developers conference keynote should be about. Updates to iOS, macOS. By the way, it's called macOS now, not OS 10. macOS, watchOS, and tvOS. And are you pretty excited? Oh, first of all, let me see here. Who uses a Mac? Owen, you use a Mac?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Devendra?
Yeah, I use it for work, and I have a Windows PC at home, so I try to keep both going.
Yeah, I mean, I use both. But I'm using Linux right now. But,
Oh, boy.
Well, I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons. One, obviously, I was getting a little tired of Microsoft foisting Windows 10 on everybody and everything. I like Windows 10, but I felt like that was really rude. How wooed. And then, germane to this conversation, I was looking at Apple thinking, you don't care about desktop. You don't care about OS 10 anymore. You're all about the iPhone. And I was starting to get a little worried and thinking, well, I may need to find a new kind of home.
So you went to the worst home, but okay.
No, I beg to differ. For one thing, I think open source is the future. Do you not agree?
I don't know. It's funny, Leo. Like in high school, I was watching you on the screensavers and all the shows like experimenting with Linux. So it's funny. Like I feel like we've been saying open source is the future for a while. It's very important for desktop platforms. I don't know. We've seen like the value of having something, I don't know, stable with a lot of developer support, so both from Apple and Windows,
And that was the joke for years. This year is going to be the year of Linux on the desktop. No, this year.
This time.
And the truth is, in the intervening years, Linux has won in many respects. Android is Linux.
Right.
Right?
OS X was like some Unix, you know.
OS X is based on BSD. It's Darwin. It's open source under the hood. The graphical layer on top is all proprietary Apple stuff. Anytime you surf at, you know, half the sites, if not more, that you're visiting are running Linux. So, but here's what I do think that open source is the only sensible way forward. And I think this kind of comes back to also the crypto conversation that people have, which is how can you trust cryptography if it's just some blob? And you know that the companies that make that blob are under intense pressure from governmental agencies to make the blob accessible to them. If you really want to use cryptography, if you really want to be private and secure, you can't trust a company. Not that the companies are untrustworthy, but Apple, Microsoft, Google, Facebook have no legal standing to say no, frankly, or it's very hard for them to say no if asked in the appropriate way. I mean, that's why the Apple story was interesting, because they did say no, but they would have lost. Very important to understand, the San Bernardino phone case, they would have lost in the long run had the FBI not dropped it, because they have no legal standing to say no. They have to agree. They're, you know, they have to go with the law. And so if you want privacy and security, you can't trust an individual company, and you have to trust open source where you can, or others can, validate the source. So I always say use open source crypto. And I think in many ways, open source software is going to be the wave of the future, partly because desktop operating systems don't matter as much anymore. The cloud doesn't care whether you're using Linux or OS X or Windows. It doesn't matter what you're using.
When you say that, it sounds correct, and it is correct. But I remember the rest of the world thinks of open source as some, like you said, all the operating systems and sites are built on top of it. They're all wearing dresses and makeup, and they're all the pretty pig.
Their lipstick's on the pig. Yeah.
You keep saying it like regular people don't know. If I said Linux to the average person in America, they'd hand me Windex.
I agree.
They wouldn't know what.
No, I agree. But nobody needs to know. That's exactly right. Nobody needs to know. Doesn't matter.
So as far as it's the way of the future, it's the way of the now. And what we know, because we're knowledgeable about the information. But I don't, though, like, you know, I'm with you, but just relax.
Yeah, it's useful.
That's what everybody says. When people start talking about Linux, that's almost the universal reaction is, I'm with you, but relax, chill.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, like you said, you've been on this since the 80s, and we understand, but calm down.
It's a great solution for some people, but I'm more concerned with what's, like, accessible to normal, you know, consumers, to what they can buy in stores. And, it's rough.
Well,
and
increasingly, I'm telling people to get Chromebooks. Notice that's Linux, but Google does not say Linux. Because they don't want to scare people. It's Chrome. You like Chrome. You know Chrome. It's Chrome OS. It's safe.
Although
it's
then you're under like Google's own platform too, and you're getting like just Google's web, or at least you're getting, you know, their stuff pushed to you, but it's not a full-fledged computer that can do all sorts of other things, you know, offline apps and stuff like that.
I agree. I mean, I talk to normal people on the radio all the time, and that's my day job, right?
Is that your only contact with normal people?
That is, in fact, my only contact.
It really is his only contact.
And I often wish I didn't have to do that, but I do. And I'm not going to – well, I do say to them, you know, I try to educate them along these lines. But a lot of times people call me – an 80-year-old woman called me today, and she says, I want to scan everything.
Linux.
No, well, obviously that's the wrong answer for something. What I first try to do is talk her out of scanning everything. She said, no, I want to scan all my receipts. I want to scan all my documents. I want to scan everything. I said, you know, that's kind of old school. Nobody really, your bank statements are going to come digitally. You don't have to have paper. You know, that was last decade. People were scanning everything, right?
But she's out here spending that cash, Uncle Leo.
That's not my job. My job is not to spend her cash.
No, she's spending her cash, meaning she's got a lot of receipts. She's not using her car for everything. She's out here writing these checks and using that cash. She's old school, so she needs to scan her receipts.
Yeah. But the bank will send you pictures of your checks, you know.
That's true.
Didn't you just tell her to take a photo with her phone?
I did. I said, that's exactly right.
Out, take a photo, throw them out.
You heard me.
Take them all out.
You heard me, or you just knew that's what I would have said?
Get Evernote.
No, I was
take
just
pictures,
assuming that's like
day.
The smartest way exactly. for someone to be able to get rid of paper, but the IRS comes knocking. They're not going to care about the paper. They still want to have the receipts.
Maybe.
So you're going to still be in trouble.
Do you
really want to keep those for 7 years? Like, really, can't the IRS come at you for like any time?
She could put them in a box, but she wanted some way of storing them digitally. I said, look, I did exactly what I said. Take a picture with your phone. And then get Google Photos and have it stored on the
or
cloud.
Or even Evernote. Evernote has a memory
Evernote's
document
great.
Scanning now.
Evernote's what you want, because then you can search your receipts also. You can
I should have thought. I didn't think of Evernote, and you're right. That's actually
it is my favorite expenses tool, because expenses are the worst. So it's the best way to collect them.
Do you worry that Evernote is kind of a rocky foundation?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, who was it? Phil Libin stepping down.
Yep.
Tons of reports about their trouble. Like, they just haven't made much progress over the last few years. My entire workflow is based around Evernote, so I'd be very sad if they fell apart. But I look at their Mac app and their Windows apps, like, nothing has really improved. Their web app is really nice now. But yeah, they haven't brought that forward to other platforms yet.
Microsoft sees the writing on the wall, because I remember just a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, they offered a Evernote to OneNote converter. So they know people are looking for alternatives. Anyway, we started this.
I was going to say, I'd like to say that this conversation shows just how horribly boring and nobody cares about WWDC, because we started the conversation with that, and normally we get bashed as Apple fanboys.
I was going to get there.
And we went on to another world and Androids and Linuxes. And
I started by asking you how many of you use Macs, and then I confessed to using a Linux desktop today. And then, of course, you're right. We completely forgot. So back to WWDC.
I like WWDC. I thought I had a lot of stuff that I wanted. I got, like, the bells, the whistles. It was all pretty and fun, and it's going to work better. Like, it wasn't anything super exciting. It's not like getting a new Mac or, you know, getting a new phone unveiled. But besides that, I'm like, this is what I want to use for messages for. I want the trinkets. I'm the one that uses, like, Bitmoji and, like, annoys people with, like, pictures. Right. I want to send everything in confetti. That's what I can't wait for.
I kind of pointed that out. I don't know why they spent so much time on messages, but that's in a great Apple tradition of picking an app like their cards app.
Well, it's their Snapchat competitor, right?
Well, that's why, right?
I mean, Snapchat.
That's right. They're worried that the kids are going to, this is not going to change any kid's mind. They're going to still use Snapchat. This is for moms.
It's Snapchat for moms.
This is for moms and dads.
I mean, I love Georgia so much, and normally we are on the same brainwave, but apparently this is wrong. This was the biggest snooze fest. This was the first time I watched one of their presentations, and I fully realized and got annoyed with, oh my God, they're talking to me like I'm a 5-year-old child. They repeat themselves 3 times. Here, let me tell you all the features of messaging. Now here's someone to show you everything I just showed you on the screen.
They filled 2 hours.
I'm like, what are you just, can we get to the next thing? It was horrible.
We're going to get you engaged. Emojis. I'm going to get you engaged. Wasn't that new?
We should have been watching this together, because you'd have been like, this is horrible. And I'm like, oh my God, bubbles. Oh my God, handwriting. Oh yes, I can't wait for this. I can use handwriting on my watch. I was like, I got almost everything that I was hoping for in bells and whistles, except for having my watch face always be on, which is ridiculous.
Well, they can't. I don't think the battery life will allow it. Yeah.
I don't care. Let it die on your watch.
You are not going to handwrite on your watch.
It's not. No. You know what? It's not for us. It's for Chinese people. Seriously.
Yes. It's hard. True. Yeah, it's hard.
Seriously. They know that we're not going to we're not going to do that. But if you're writing Chinese ideograms, that's much, much easier. And by the way,
character-based language, one character
is a word. So it's efficient. And it's a way to handle that problem. So I think that's for the Chinese market.
You see, that's also for people in meetings. Sometimes the fast, quick replies are not the right ones. I need to say, like, you know, don't you dare. Like, I want to be able to say that on my watch before my husband buys another VR system or something.
Don't do it.
Totally insane.
Last time we talked, you were getting the Oculus was coming?
I was getting the HTC Vive.
The Vive. Ooh. And you gave up your office and your studio for the Vive room.
I did.
How's the Vive room doing?
Owen, I'm sorry. I know you're going to be like, this is going to be another one. It's going to be an interesting twit. I'm totally sold. It was worth it. I have people that have never played video games try this out and blow their minds away. I have my 6-year-old cousin who's never played a video game in their life say, how much is it? What kind of a room do I need to get? And they're like shooting things, using a bow and arrow. I was just playing paintball the other day. Battle Dome is one of the best games ever. It's what I'm doing all night, every night, because I love paintball. This is great. You're just like shooting things, painting the area. It's like Halo and Splatoon stuck together in a game. It's a blast. So it was well worth it. I'm there. Sign me up.
Here's my, this is the Space Pirate game. This is one of the games we play a lot.
Space Pirate Trainer.
So good.
Space Pirate Trainer.
Yes. That's great.
It's really fun. You're just standing on a deck and you're just shooting at incoming. You have a little shield which you hold behind you. You can get it from behind you. And then it turns out 2 guns is better than 1. It's pretty cool.
It's amazing. It's a great game. It's like Galaga in 3D.
Yeah, I actually thought it was kind of like Duck Hunt. Anyway, it turns out that the ducks shoot back. Right. The game mechanics aren't as important as the environment.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So, okay, well, that's good.
Because even, like, the graphics for Battle Dome, it's made by one developer. It's so much fun.
Right.
It's probably one of the most popular games right now, and it's just an absolute blast to play when we get Oculus, which I think it's already there. We just have to get it all set up. Like, we're thinking, like, how can we play together so we can play a game of paintball on the same screen, and, like, someone's the painter and someone else is the shooter, and we can't.
You've got to buy that warehouse that everybody can afford when they all buy their VRs and everybody's got money to move their room and make a whole new room.
The Vive, unlike
the, couch.
The Vive, like, unlike the Rift, you have to take large space, like 10 by 10 space. To do.
Mm-hmm. Again,
like a 5 by 5.
5 by 5.
All right. 8 by 15.
I understand it's coming, but again, first of all, it's just like when you date somebody for the first time, you think everything's great.
Yeah, it's very much like that.
Talk to me after six months, because I game all the time and things wear out. Second of all, if you game all the time,
you have not tried this yet? Okay, what I want is the next time you come on the show, I want you to at least try it. Try Vive. Don't try Oculus. It doesn't have the controllers, so it's like...
The games are better in the Oculus, I thought, but you're right. The Vive is a better experience. Huh?
It's a better experience. You have to try it, then, Owen. You can tell me.
But you know what we're getting for Owen? PSVR, the PlayStation VR.
That's what I'm waiting on.
No, I've played it. It's fun. It's good. I have all three.
It's good. It's fun. It's not as good. Like, the frames per second are kind of like doubled up, right?
Yes. I'm not dedicating a computer for a game that has five games on it, first of all. Second of all, weren't we supposed to be talking about WWDC, which is so horrible?
WWDC. All right, we're going to take a break. And
what is going on?
Regroup. Everybody, stop thinking about fun stuff. Start thinking about WWDC, okay?
Oh, man, it's horrible. It was
We're going to talk about... No, wait a minute. You can now call for help on your watch.
That's
life-changing.
Genuinely useful. Yeah.
That is... Yes. That's going to change everyone's lives.
If you're in a wheelchair, Apple finally realized how insulting it was to tell you to stand up every hour.
That was bad.
I didn't even think about it at the time, but then they mentioned it. You're right. That's like... Wow, I wish I could. Thanks, Apple. Let's see, what else? We'll talk more. A lot of the most interesting stuff was stuff under the hood for developers. There's a new file system. Siri is now programmable. App developers finally have access to the hooks inside Siri. There's stuff that actually might make a difference. But we'll also talk about invisible text and 3 times bigger emojis. But first, a word about sleep. You are the sleep expert, Georgia. I know. Georgia has actually done videos on better sleep at her anxiety-videos site, anxiety-videos.com. One way to sleep better, a better mattress, that's Casper. Casper mattresses, they are made in the U.S. of A and shipped direct to you from the factory, which eliminates a big markup for the mattress store. And the mattress store is a broken idea. Let's face it. I know you think, well, I'm not going to buy a mattress until I can lie on it. But really, do you want to lie on it in the mattress store in broad daylight with the sales girls looking at you? You got your shoes on. You can't curl up. You can't roll over. You can't drool. You need to have the mattress in your home. And Casper lets you do that for 100 nights. Casper is amazing. They've reinvented the mattress business. 2 kinds of technologies to give you exactly what you want in a mattress, which is support that sinks. It gives you the right bounce and sink. And it's springy latex foam and supportive memory foam. Casper Mattress is a 2016 Business Intelligence Group Innovation Award winner because they've just taken this business that really was stuck in the 50s and they've reinvented it. Now, when your Casper Mattress comes in a surprisingly compact box, you open it up and it... By the way, it smells great the minute you open it up. It breathes. Well, sometimes I think people worry. They'll say, "Oh, it's memory foam. Maybe it's going to smell latexy or something." No. It smells fresh. It's great for the hot weather that's coming our way this summer because it breathes. You will never sleep hot, and we know that's another thing. People need to sleep cool. You can buy it online, and there's no risk because if at any time in those first 100 nights you don't like it, you call them. They'll come and get it. I think they donate it to a charity. I don't think they actually ship it back to the factory. They donate it to a charity, but they refund you every penny. So there's no risk, no fuss, no muss, and the price is amazing. It starts at $500 for a twin, but I'm going to get you.
They also have pillows, which are great as well.
Oh, it's so comfy.
I was just about to say, I have the pillow. I don't have the bed, and the pillow is awesome. I have two of them.
Yeah, I want to be clear that We're going to give you $50 off the mattress. We are not going to give you $50 off the pillow. But if you want to buy a pillow, when you buy the mattress, get the $50 off and then get some pillows. I'm all in on the pillows, yeah.
It's totally worth it, yeah.
Yeah, they're really comfy. You know, all have Casper mattresses and pillows?
I do, yeah. I have a Casper pillow and another memory foam, or a Casper mattress and another memory foam pillow. But it's
these are not, company. These pillows, I don't know, they're not quite memory, I don't know. I would.
Or foam.
I'm going to see about, Renee's getting the pillows, I'm gonna squeeze out the pillows and see, but at CES, like Casper let us jump on their mattress to try to test it out for one of our videos, so they're nice. Really cool.
Oh, they're great.
Really comfortable.
They're really great, and they're really nice mattresses. And you can get it right now and get $50 off your mattress purchase, not your pillow purchase, but your mattress purchase. If you go to casper.com/twit, you have to use the promo code TWIT, and some terms and conditions apply. But the shipping is free and the returns are free in the U.S. and Canada. It is a great, great mattress at a really good price because you don't have a showroom. Actually, I think they have a showroom or two, like in New York and stuff, but.
They have, so I've been to their New York office. It's just a room. It's a room it's in not the back a showroom. Of their office. Yeah. So it's not even really a showroom, but you can go there and try that.
Was it all padded with like Casper mattresses?
Oh,
though?
Man.
Like, bounce against the walls. Or
that's
else?
What you need for your Vive awesome. Room. You need Casper mattresses on the walls.
Do you know what we have? We actually, I put down for my Vive room. I have like mats on the floor because some games you have to crawl or you might fall over. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to have some Casper mattress on the sides of the walls because my wall's all dented from being a little over-exuberant.
You need a Brazilian jiu-jitsu game for Vive.
You know what? When they get... I tried a boxing game. It was quite good. It was quite good. Yeah, it's just new out. It's just first gen. But it was pretty exciting. And I'm like, finally, my martial art training is coming in
That's
handy.
Neat. But how tall are you, Georgia?
I'm really short. I'm like halfling size.
You're halfling.
5'3".
5'3".
I was close.
That's not that short.
You were close. You were
My
close.
Mom's 4'11". She says she's a legal dwarf. But that's my mom.
My mom is also 4'11", so.
Yeah.
And my
daughter's 6'2". Like 5'3", 5'2", 5'3". Yeah, so I come from little people.
Yeah.
You know. But no, I'm just wondering because I think, that's the thing that's kind of amazing is that you're this powerhouse. What's your belt? Are you a... I know you won championships. No,
I'm a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I haven't gone for any, like the last championship I did. I haven't done a tournament since I busted my knee and went for knee surgery.
Oh, yeah.
But I was Canadian champion of Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Okay. And I just think of this little powerhouse that you don't want to mess with it because she could kick your butt. Anyway, WWDC. Let's get back to that. Okay. Mm. I'm going to do this in an orderly fashion now. The next Mac OS will not be OS 10. It'll be Mac OS Sierra. It will be, there's a developer edition coming out. Well, the beta you can get now. And then there's a public beta that's next month. For all of this, developer bits were available a day of. And a public beta, if you're adventurous, next month. And then the fall, like September probably. Mm-hmm. It is not going to have the new file system. You can try it, but they don't recommend you do it because it's very, very early days. But there's a new file system, APFS, which will be rolling out to all devices, not just Macs, but even the TVs, the watches, everything, in the spring. And I was very excited. In fact, we got Aaron Hillegass on the new Screensavers yesterday. He is a developer, Big Nerd Ranch, and I wanted to know about APFS, the new file system. Because it's very like a ZFS, which a lot of people say. Well, here's the point. Apple's HFS file system is 30 years old. It is antiquated by any standard. It is not a modern file system. And ZFS, which is a much more modern file system, is used with Solaris. Apple was considering incorporating ZFS. It's owned by Oracle now. But was considering it a few years ago. And then that whole thing just fell off the face of the earth. I think now we know why they were developing their own. It has snapshots, which is one of the chief benefits of ZFS, is you can roll back. Anything goes wrong, you can roll back. You lose a file, you can roll back. It's a really effective and robust file system. It's faster. It handles large drives better. It handles SSDs better. So that, you know, is not the kind of thing, and they didn't even mention it on stage. It's not the kind of thing you can get people all excited about, not like fairy dust messages, but in fact makes a huge difference. Oh, doctor, are you excited now?
I'm excited about that and only really one other thing that happened.
What?
The Swift for iPad.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Okay, so it's super exciting for two reasons. You remember, like, last Christmas, I got Leah, like, the little bits and stuff like that.
Bitsbox?
So, little bits.
Leah little bits.
Oh, okay, little bits.
Bitsbox is cool, too. Do you do Bitsbox with your kid?
My kids do Bitsbox.
Yeah.
So
little bits was those magnetic circuits that you put together. They were an advertiser. They put it together.
So she loved those things, and she made all kinds of cool stuff for a friend, and she's deep into it. She knows she has to be an engineer when she grows up. And this summer, we were going to be doing coding.
Great.
Because she has to start to learn code. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to make it so I don't have to have her kill me in my sleep, because it'll make it a little bit more fun, because the way I was going to do it was not super easily fun.
Do you code, Owen?
Wait, Owen, that's why you got the cup. Just saying.
A cup?
Yeah, that's, so
you have
she
to make it more
fun
if you want to get better gifts after.
Owen, next summer, App Camp for Girls.
App Camp for Girls.
It's mostly West Coast, though. Portland, Seattle, Phoenix, Vancouver, Orange County.
They do stuff in New York. There's a couple programs I've been looking at in New York.
This is a really cool project for girls your daughter's age to get them coding and to show them it's more than just coding, because there's design, there's art. There's a lot of different disciplines required in software and app development.
And they make it fun.
Yeah, Gene McDonald, formerly of Smile, does a great job with this.
I'm just going to give her a base and then let somebody else have fun with it. But that.
So do you code? Are you a coder?
I used to code, and then I started paying other people to do it for me.
Right.
So... Now I'm trying to get back into it for her. Oh, because it's a horrible, terrible thing. I mean, when you watch it on WWC, like, legit, like, when the people in the crowd were crying and tearing up, I was like, I can't even be mad at them. Normally, the Apple Seal Fest, the or and everything they say kind of annoys me. But, like, when they watch their little video of people learning to code and I could code now, everybody in that room knows how frustrating it is to code. So to see somebody happy, to learn, to achieve, it is an emotional moment, because it is a frustrating thing to learn and to do.
This Swift Playgrounds isn't designed for you to write your next big app in, but it is designed to teach you app programming. It'll be free on the App Store with the iOS 10. And what they've done, which is interesting, is it's not that the drag module thing that so many others have done, going back to you know, Scratch and Alice and stuff. This is, you're actually typing code. But it's beautiful puzzles and stuff, and I guess you'll learn all of the basics of Swift.
It's a great starting point.
Yeah.
And it opens the door to people who have even ever thought about doing it. It's free. So if you ever wanted to do it, you can at least jump into it, which is awesome. And I think that's a great thing that they did.
I'll definitely be playing with it.
My kids use Bitsbox, which you have to actually code in to learn a little bit of, like, basic Java. But I think that we're going to take a little breather and try out Swift Playground just to see how it goes, because I think it's going to be a little bit fun. They have characters that are going to be moving around. So we're going to be testing it out as well.
The key in all this is, you know, this looks like something that might be in a school curriculum, but really the idea is for a kid to kind of, I think, if you can help this, stumble on it and make it kind of their thing, rather than something they have to do that is part of a curriculum. Much more fun. At least that's how I discovered technology, and I think probably all of you. It wasn't that somebody said, oh, now you have to learn this, but you stumble on it. It becomes fun, and this is your thing. This is kind of, I'm good at this. And this is a great opportunity. Just put it on the iPad and see if they find it.
Well, again, the little bits got Leah interested enough to where I sent her to one of my friends who is an engineer. He's retired. But he broke out the soldering board and was putting circuits together.
Oh, wow.
And she actually cared.
Oh, that's
so
neat.
So going from clicking things together and having tools and watching smoke puff up, and, like, she was totally into it last summer. So I'm like, I'm just going to progressively mind shift her along into molding her into the greatest beast of all times.
Now, Apple is in an interesting position, because Google I.O. announced that we're doubling down on machine learning. We're going to put machine learning in everything. Your phone, which already knows a lot about you, and Google, which already knows a lot about you, is going to be able to predict where you're going, what you're doing, and offer you help. And you're going to be able to ask questions of it. And Apple has, of course, resisted this, trying to position itself as a steward of its users' privacy and security, which makes it a little harder for them to do all of the cool things that Google and Facebook are doing because they're willing to spy on you. So Apple has responded. They did talk about machine learning. They said, yes, we're going to be doing it. But there are two things Apple's going to do that they say is, now, again, this is marketing. So this is what they say is different. One is a lot of this will be done on the phone. So, for instance, Apple debuted new features in Photos, giving them parity, I think, with Google's Photos, things like recognizing faces and recognizing subject matter and letting you search your photos, you know, for pictures of Paris in the springtime or whatever. But they said, but we're going to do that on device. So we're not going to do the code in our cloud. We're not going to load your messages in the cloud. We're going to do it on device. And the second thing they announced is this differential privacy, which is a really interesting idea coming out of a university research. Wired's article is quite good from Andy Greenberg describing this. But also our friend cryptographer Matthew Green, who really is the king of all this, wrote a blog post, too, about differential privacy. And he pointed out that it's one thing to say. He said, first of all, it's great to see university research applied in this way that many, many people will be able to benefit from it. But he said differential privacy is very dependent on implementation. And there's really not – until Apple says exactly what it's doing and shows us the code, we can't say whether they're doing it right, they're doing it well, or even whether it protects your privacy. In theory, it could. So, but I'm liking, actually, I want to ask you guys, I'm going to start with you, Devendra. I'm liking the idea that Apple says we have a way forward machine learning that still protects your privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good way for Apple to differentiate itself from Google, especially, and Facebook, and honestly, every company that we're worried we're giving them too much information. It seems like such an Apple solution too, I guess, like such like the way the iPhone was like, not the first smartphone, but kind of a refined version of the smartphone. This seems like maybe a smarter way of dealing with computer learning going forward. There's still a lot we need to see. It right now feels a lot like marketing. I want to know exactly how this is working.
It was Craig Federighi, mm-hmm. kind of, yeah, it's working. Yeah. It's going to be amazing, yeah. and you're going to love
it's
it.
Magic.
It's magic. And what Matthew Green says is, in fact, I think he has a graph. Let me see. Yeah, it's probably not very helpful, but here's the graph, which
now is, I understand.
Yes,
everything.
It's all clear.
I get it.
Essentially, they're knobs. They're knobs you turn, and you turn it too much one way, you fuzz the data too much, you're not going to get enough information out of it. You're going to increase privacy without getting information out of it. You turn the knob too much the other way, you're fuzzing the data, but not sufficiently, and privacy is compromised. Mm-hmm. And we know, and the reason this is important is we know that these data dumps actually turn out to be surprisingly revealing. You know, we've talked a lot about how metadata, you know, the FBI says, oh, don't worry, we're just using metadata. It can actually say a lot about you. Netflix dumped a few years ago a huge database. They say it had been anonymized in their attempt to get a better recommendation engine. They had $1 million Netflix prize, and they said, here's the data set. And some enterprising researcher took the anonymized data set and putting information together from other sources was able to identify the movies that individual people were watching and liked. And so you can anonymize, but it doesn't have to be effective. And so really, Beth Green says, it just depends how well this is implemented. It could be great, and it could be not so great. And it could just be, you know, they could wave their hands and say, oh, it's differential privacy. That by and of itself doesn't do anything.
So if Apple's going to be doing this on phone, does that mean that we're finally going to get rid of this 16 gigabyte, now no space, can't do nothing on it phone? Because if you're going to do it on
yes.
phone, we need a little bit more space.
Because yes.
every mom that I know, all they do is cry and complain about how they can't do anything on their phones. And I'm like, well, there's a reason that phone's so cheap. But Apple's slick marketing and ripping people off, stupidity. If you're going to be doing a phone, the first phone better be a 32 gigabyte
yeah.
phone.
At least.
That's all I'm saying. At the very least.
Didn't they do that with the SE? Didn't they eliminate the 16 gig version?
I can't say for sure. Like, the 16 is still definitely the minimum for the 6S, you know.
Right.
I haven't seen about the
I was reading rumors about the next iPhone, the iPhone 7. Of course, I saw some
spec rumors, and these are just rumors and nothing legit. But there were definitely some documents that showed that a 16-gigabyte version is still being worked on or being developed. And I really hope that's not the case. Like, there's no excuse for Apple to do this in 2016. I've seen the arguments why, and people have made very logical arguments for why it makes sense for Apple to have a low space iPhone, because maybe not everybody fills up their storage, but it doesn't make sense today.
Everybody fills up their storage because you give them a 4K device and tell them to get you 4K video, and then they take one video of a puppy running in their backyard for 30 seconds, you have no more space.
And I'll argue the other side, though. It's nice to have a phone that is more affordable.
Leo,
it's not that much more affordable.
The price difference between 16 gigs and 32
gigs drop the price.
Is nothing. You could up the price by $20 and just stop it. There's no need. The cost is, the barrier of cost is so low. Right. It's just pure greed and evil.
And in fact, it is true that Apple overcharges. $100 for an additional 16 gigs of memory is ridiculous.
Ooh. Well, no, it's there's no more 32 gigabyte, right?
You have to jump to 64.
Shows you the value of 64, but it doesn't make sense. Yeah, if Apple kept the 16 gigabyte and made it $100 cheaper or something, if it was actually below the premium of a typical iPhone, maybe fine. You can make an excuse for that.
Nobody in this crowd, would buy one, but there are people who don't install additional apps. In fact, the vast
I'm telling you, I sit at soccer games with women all the time, and they look at their phones and say, I can't take any more pictures of my kids because I got too many pictures. What do I do with the pictures? And I'm sitting like, do you have Amazon Prime? Because if you do, you can unload your. I'm telling people this daily, weekly, monthly.
Well, in theory, that's
your text. You could just send it to the cloud, but I think that people just don't understand how much space. They don't even understand what takes up most space on their phone or how to even check it out. Right. And so, because of that, they take one video, then they get angry at the phone. It's not really the phone's fault. You shouldn't have bought the 16K.
It's the marketing of Apple. It's Apple's fault.
The phone's fault, though. Yeah, Apple is selling a device with very limited memory. Yeah, you could send stuff to the cloud, but let's not pretend that managing your stuff on iCloud is easy. iCloud, it's insane. Yeah,
and it's not free.
It's not free, and you have to pay more for it. It's one of those things that just seems really like I hate to say this. Too much these days because it seems like the thing people jump to. But it feels like something that Steve Jobs Apple probably wouldn't do, right? This is a bad user experience that Apple is selling for its marquee product.
Oh, I think Steve Jobs Apple would do this. I think Steve Jobs Apple did do this.
Well,
remember, they used to sell 8-gig iPhones.
But that was at
we didn't have 4K.
Well, that's true. The
megapixels were different. The spaces were different. Yep. Now we're at the point where you're literally telling people, you don't know anything about storage or cloud. They put everything on Facebook. That's where they archive everything to have it saved somewhere. Everybody pushes everything on Facebook. Stop it, Apple. I hate it. Fix it. Mm-hmm. Stop it.
And now it seems like margins are more important to Apple than user experience. And that's worrying to me. That's a sign of bigger problems coming down the line.
I have to be very careful because I don't I think I'm overly negative on Apple. partly because I feel it's like I was jilted. And you know how once
is that because they didn't invite you to WWDC?
No. That has nothing to do with that. Although people usually assume it has to do with that. No. I feel like because look, I was an early Apple supporter. I bought a Macintosh in 1984. And
didn't you buy that Cube? I bought the Cube
the day that I got home, and they announced they discontinued it. I've owned every Mac, and I'm a big Mac fan. I've owned every iPhone. I've owned every iPad. I'm not anti Mac. But this is why I have to be careful, because I kind of agree with you, Devendra. I see the writing on the wall that it's not the Apple that I fell in love with.
Right.
It is an Apple that's a little bit more interested in consumers, in margin, in fashion. And that bothers me because, and I'm sorry, Georgia, but I see all these styling pictures from Renee and the iMore team. Your iMore Instagram is like fashion shots of iPhones and Apple bands and watches, right? I'm sure that's conscious.
Is that where everyone is? Like Apple, of course, Apple, like every single company cares about their margins. Like there's no company that's like happy.
Well, they should, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Every company does. It's not just Apple that does that.
Apple's the only company selling a 16 gigabyte flagship smartphone.
That is true. Like I'll say that's the weird phone. And I think that most people will say that unless it's for your granny that doesn't know how to take photos or, you know, for someone else, or you want your kids to not be able to download anything or take photos with their phone. Yeah. It does not have a great use case. Look, and I think that's going to be slowy, you know, moved away.
Do you participate in these iMoreGrams?
I do. What are you kidding? I'm like part of, like, Renee's the real artist to it, but I'm like styling up the photos and like taking
there's a lot of photo styling going on now in the iMore.
That is really what people love. They love to see. It's like, you know, tech candy. It's just fun. Take a look at the way that we can do it. Make a pretty photo. See what people can do. But that's what people care about.
A lot of news photos in here. But if you go back pre-WWDC, there's a lot of photos like this. And
can I just say,
those are news photos. But we do a lot of pretty photos. But they're some of the most popular photos. We had like.
Of course, they're popular.
Yes.
A list of iPhone photos, my favorite photos. It got one of the most set of likes. Like we're actually, you could say that it's there. We have no, that's not the obelisk. We have one that's like a pile of stuff. But
oh, I know that one. Yeah.
That gets like a ton of likes. So we're just listening to what people say that they want. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can we just say that we're just in the valley at the moment with Apple, because Apple has. Yeah. Done what it does, okay? They come in and they give you an iPhone. Boom, you're like, oh, yeah. Then they come in with an iPad. You're like, oh, yeah. They come with some MacBook Pros. Okay. And then we're going to have this R&D period for like the next 5 years until they make the new thing that everyone needs and they've made it better than everyone else. Yeah. They can't always ascend into the sky. So in those mean times, guess what you have to do? You have to fluff it up and put a dress and lipstick on that pig.
And that's why I'm using Linux, because there's no way you can make this computer look pretty or fancy or stylish. It's just pure function.
Can I say that Owen, you're so right, because that's the only reason that I have the pink Mac, because it's gorgeous.
That's a consumer market. No, that's a consumer
that's
market.
True, and that's how you make money. The difference in sound quality makes it worth its while. If I'm watching videos or having to listen to something.
Georgia, you're just rationalizing in your head.
That's ridiculous.
You're giving yourself a reason.
You think that the sound is better?
I actually use my MacBook Air for everything. And then this is like I'm having an affair with my other computer. I feel a little bad because this is like the one that I take out to show everyone. But my beautiful MacBook Air that's like bent up and it's what I use all my podcasting for.
So. I confess we're going on vacation. Right. What am I carrying with me? My MacBook, the lightest computer I have. Sure. Yeah.
I think, Owen, like you have it right? We are in the valley period. There's nothing too exciting. The Apple Watch was kind of the thing. Maybe Apple was hoping would really take off, and it kind of has. Like they're selling, but I don't think it's hit the consumer.
They haven't updated the Mac Pro since 2013. They haven't even put a new chip in it.
Yep.
And so it's kind of bad, because also hand in hand with doing the least upgradable Mac Pro ever, like there's nothing you can upgrade in it, and they aren't upgrading it. And I bought a Mac Pro. I feel ripped off. I feel like they've abandoned me with that trash can.
To be fair, my 2012 MacBook Pro is still such a beast and champion in life. It's all maxed out. It hasn't, like, dude, I'm doing Final Cut Pro. I'm using Adobe. I'm burning this bad boy out. And guess what? Right. We still flying high in the sky. And I think the same thing. I wanted a MacBook Pro because Apple has conditioned me into wanting a new girlfriend.
By the way, that's across the board. That's one of the reasons PC sales are dropping. PC sales are dropping because you don't need a new PC, because the 5 years ago PC was as fast as ever. And then, but then you've got Craig Federighi or Phil Schiller at the last Apple event saying, I feel so sorry for people using five-year-old notebooks. And that's just... I felt insulted by that. Those notebooks are still in use is because they're plenty fast enough. And B, Apple's selling fashion. Guess why? Because every year you need to buy a new one because it's now rose gold. Mm-hmm. Fashion gets updated and nowadays technology doesn't need to be updated.
And MacBook Pros don't get fashionized.
Oh, see, you got me doing this. I wasn't going to do this.
Let's not pretend that the MacBook Pro, like the design, the unibody design, that is a gorgeous looking.
It's gorgeous, but it's old.
When it came out, we also a lot of people did complain. It's like, oh, that's you're paying a premium for a fancy high end laptop.
Yeah, but every PC company copied it.
Yep. Everyone's doing it now.
Intel announced the UltraBooks, which is a copy of a MacBook Pro, and MacBook Air, and everyone else made MacBook Air clones. So Apple led the way, but the problem is they haven't updated in years. And
I won't knock Apple for focusing on style, especially in an industry where if you leave the industry alone, they're going to make, you know, ugly gray boxes.
Ugly.
That's kind of what Apple is always good at. But if Apple were to upgrade the Mac Pro, this is the year to do it, right? Because we have new Intel chips coming at the end of the year. They confirmed they're still coming. New video cards from NVIDIA and AMD, the $200 AMD, you know, the Radeon that's going to be VR capable. That's a really exciting and interesting device. So now's a really good time for PC hardware to come back. So hopefully we'll see that stuff integrated in future Mac Pros and iMacs as well.
Yes, sir.
And here's where I am like the guy who was jilted. Oh, do you think Apple will update it later this year? Maybe it'll be all okay.
Okay, maybe. First of all, you and your jiltedness, you have a separate warehouse. I'm going to tell you.
I do. It's depressing.
I'm not going to insult him by calling a warehouse. Leo has a digital bunker. Yeah. It's just stacked up. Like, you know how people have a library of books? He's got laptops.
Not anymore. We have a 10,000 square foot basement downstairs, empty now, because we're moving.
You're just moving it to another warehouse.
No, we got rid of a lot of stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Man, you should have called me for that yard sale.
Oh, man.
I walked.
Oh, well, first of all, yes, a couple of maybe a week ago, I started going through it. And it was like my life, little bits of my life story lying there. Oh, my God, that's my phone from 2004.
Leo,
oh, I remember that phone. Oh, that number, I haven't had that. And I'm started in my mind, I'm starting to sing the John Lennon song. There are places I remember in my life. I like got a theme song going, and it's in the basement, and I'm sad. I'm crying because of my old technology, and now it's gone.
Where's my inheritance? Where's all my things?
Not one, but two Amigas.
I want to know where it is. You told me that you're going to leave everything.
Where is it? Where'd it go, Burke? What happened to it? Burke had a yard sale.
But see, I would have had you signing stuff. I'd have been eBaying stuff on the internet. I'd have been selling parts of stuff. I would have gave 10% of it to charity, or at least lied like people say they're going to send 10% to charity and doubled the money. You never think about me when you're doing stuff.
I'm going to give it all to the Trump Foundation. That's what I'm doing. That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah.
Something. You're fired. Don't ever give anything away. You called me first. The next bunker is my bunker, Jiminy Christmas.
I had Amigas. I had Ataris.
You had everything.
Commodore PETs.
Stop talking. Let's talk about what's else on the list.
Man. Before we wrap up WWDC, I kind of want to say, like, I'm kind of in between where you guys are. It was an interesting conference. It wasn't a very exciting one, but the whole idea of Apple opening up 3D Touch and Apple Pay and things like that, like, Apple's playing better with others. So I think that alone is going to be really interesting.
It's learning what to do in the playground.
Being
nice.
Exactly.
Yes. Share.
Well, Siri needed it. Let's face it. Siri was another example of a neglected product that finally Apple, and we'll see.
They're always behind Cortana. Apple, like I said, Apple does everything now at the retrospect of everything else. They watch everybody else like have a car set on fire, and then Apple comes in and says, hey, we put that fire out. Look at our car.
But smart way for Apple to do it? It takes a look-sees where someone else is making a mistake and then goes in and does it better. Apple's doesn't do well when it's first on the field. It just doesn't do a good job. They weren't the first for phones. They weren't the first for watches. They weren't the first for laptops. When they do it better. But no, they're not the first out in the field. And I don't want them first out in the field because then, we'll be sitting here complaining about how Apple should not have made this new trash compactor that really doesn't work.
Okay. Well, can they not be 8 years late in the field? Can they not be four generations late in the field? Oh, guess what we could do? We could copy and paste a picture. Shut up.
Okay, but what about the SOS? The SOS, that is a brilliant idea. I can press one. Like just a button on my watch. I don't even have to look. If I'm being stalked, someone's chasing me.
That's
I can just
great.
Press the button. 3 seconds, have my location and someone to help me out. That sounds like life-changing for elderly, for women.
They have a card thing that you can put in your wallet, and it does the same thing all over the globe. You can
now
give it to a kid.
I don't need to do
it
a card thing.
It help you
I
if you're being chased.
I have it on my watch.
You press the button.
It doesn't send alerts.
All it does is call 911. It's a device that's all it does is call 911. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it also alerts your contacts and stuff too. Like, honestly, that's a genuinely useful thing because I'm wearing an Apple Watch now. it seems like something every wearable should have, right? Because the idea that something could happen to you anywhere in the world, not just you being stuck, but you're injured and you're somewhere where nobody's around and you just need to call, get help immediately, and maybe your phone's not near you. That sort of thing is generally useful.
Well, it's not even that. We'll when you're nervous and really stressed out and someone's following you, you're not going to be able to dial. You're not going to be able to open. I wouldn't even be able to like stick my fingerprint onto it. This is easy. It's one button. I don't have to worry. The only thing I worry about is by mistake pressing it and having suddenly I'm at a party somewhere. But like, even for my kids, I think to myself, with my kids walking home, this is a wonderful thing for them to be able to have with them. And so I think that that's going to be, I think that they're going to make a trend. It's going to be everywhere after this, because it's just something that's so smart and so helpful, our safety.
Just a note for anybody who might want to walk upon Georgia, I highly doubt that's going to work out for you in this situation. Just so you know, FYI.
Georgia actually is a ninja.
So you should be nervous if she walks up on you.
Yeah.
Press the button if you see her coming down the street.
You will never see Georgia coming. You will just see her passing.
Yes.
Yeah. With a kick in the head and you're. Yeah, all right. I think so. I was a little disappointed. Apple had said we're going to completely reinvent Apple Music. It didn't seem like a huge reinvention.
The biggest reinvention was having a black woman come up there and display.
Now, Bose was awesome. St. Bose is like, wow, was she great.
That was the biggest revelation as far as that's concerned.
It was nice to have some, you know, color. Pizzazz. Well, color for sure.
Color would be nice, yeah.
Color for sure. But even more than that, she had zest.
She was great. The only thing is that the pace was so different. The pace was so different when she came on because she had like all this energy, like this great energy. And so it did show, like at the beginning, it took her a while to have to warm up the audience.
Not
an easy audience, right? Tech people are not the easiest to get grooving. But I have to say that was fabulous, refreshing, just absolutely amazing.
Bozoma St. John, and she is according to her Twitter biography, head diva of global consumer marketing. She went from 4,000 Twitter followers before that keynote to 15,000 today. So she did something right. And but you know, she was also fashionable. Like she wore, that was a designer dress. She was singing to the Rapper's Delight there.
She just brought a whole nother energy level to it. Yeah. And again, it's like when she left, it was like,
That's
the feel. And again, I'm sitting there thinking like, well, maybe they should have more fun people do these things. Again, because this, without any hardware, without anything for my internal man gears to be like, oh, it was the worst thing to sit there and watch them repeat themselves over and over again. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to sparkly erase some text messages and put blankety balloons up there. Shoot me in my face if I ever send you. If Georgia, if you ever text me with balloons, I'd get on a plane and we're going
to
have problems.
Now we know what to do, everybody. Yeah,
it's three times bigger emoji. It's gonna be all of it, and it's gonna be like for a full day. I'm just sending it to Owen.
Because I'm elderly, I need to see bigger emojis. Bigger emojis. Like
it's about expressing emotion, just louder.
I need rage emojis.
She was great, but I don't really remember anything that she spoke about.
I don't either. Lyrics. It was Apple Music. It was lyrics.
She was amazing. I want to see her more, but I can't say that Apple Music. Like, she did a great job of talking about it, but I was busy listening to her and the songs and getting the beats, but actually Apple Music
it's simpler to use. That's it. It's just simpler.
And
it's still a mess, but it's simpler.
Really importantly, makes the distinction between your songs, downloaded songs, and streaming songs, which will help people, I think, from accidental deletions and things like
that. Seriously. How was that not there from the start? The whole, Apple Music hiding your library a little, that was the most baffling UI choice I've seen long time from Apple.
I actually made me turn off Apple Music.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I didn't open Apple Music for, I think, 3 months because of that. I was just so frustrating every time I would go in there. I was like, you know what? It's okay. Forget about it. I'll listen to
it. I love Apple Music. I love it.
Do you?
I love it.
Really?
You don't like sparkly text? You love Apple Music?
You know what? I just love driving in my car and Leah says, Dad, put on that song. And I hit the button. I'd be like, Siri, play that song. And Siri be playing that song.
Well, that's
Leah's
the real strength, by the way.
Like that song.
That's the huge strength is Siri, right? You can ask. You can talk to your phone.
Siri works good. That's true. I can say to my Siri, play songs from the 50s for my dad, and it'll actually play songs from the 50s, the greatest hits. That is nice. I'll give you that.
It's just amazing. Yeah.
We, by the way,
the UI is horrible, but I can talk to it. I have to go in. I have to look at it to get what I want.
Unfortunately, you know, they mentioned that Siri has an API and you're gonna be able to write apps. One of the, I don't think music is one of the things that it will work with. It's payments. It's limited. So that means Apple's going to continue to own that one. That's the other thing I kind of got, like messages. Okay, this is ketchup with Snapchat. This is nice. This is great. You know what I'd really like? That it works on Android as well as iPhones, because Android people get left out, right? It's and it's really Apple's all about the lock-in. Less about its customers, its convenience, and more about how can we lock them in. And all right, let's quickly talk about the Apple TV, because that was, in fact, a stealth Trojan horse into the home for HomeKit. And now they came out and they said, yep, we're going to have an Apple Home app. The hub in your house will be your Apple TV. Although, for those who don't have an Apple TV, and there are many countries you can't get one, you could also use your iPad as the home. And that will be the always on. It has to be plugged in and always on the Wi-Fi. But that will be the way you can, when you're not home, talk to your house. And a lot of people signed up for the HomeKit, including our sponsor Ring, just announced today that they're going to support HomeKit. That could be a big win. Home automation is not a very, it's a very fragmented, very difficult area right now.
I also don't know
if anybody wants it. That's the bigger
problem. That's a bigger question.
Yeah. I've been able to buy a light that I can remotely control, from my phone for, 5 years now? I don't care.
There are some things. I mean, I like the idea of a camera on my doorbell. There's some things that are useful. Home security, although what we're learning with home automation, home security, is you don't want it to be wireless, because then it's easy for the bad guy to jam the radios and then completely defeat your security system. Oops. And then there's this whole security issue in general to the Internet of Things, and these companies not paying any attention at all to protecting your network. I'm sure Apple will, though. And I think if Apple becomes the, we keep waiting for a company to come along and make this easier. Maybe it'll be Apple.
So going forward, I'm totally agreeing with Benjamin on this. Like, if you think that it's going to change everything, again, I already have my lights just turned red. I got my Nest. I have a Iris alarm system from Lowe's, and I actually kind of like everything being separate.
Yeah,
because if you're going
to, none of that's real compelling, is it?
Get into this, you got to get into that.
Yeah.
I have all the apps in one block. So I mean, Apple's security is the only thing that would encourage me. But I'm like, I've been doing this for so long. Am I really going to get out of my ecosystem and my workflow that I'm used to?
Well, I think that people will, if they can just say, like, Apple, I'm leaving the house, and everything gets shut down to, being able to be more secure. Your lights get turned down, the TV gets turned off, the temperature gets to be on out mode, and security is turned on. I think that if it ends up being effortless to be able to work a whole bunch of different devices, because they're listening to each other, and so they can work in conjunction one to the other, I think that that would make a difference. If, my home security, I get a call saying, your temperature's gone down to this, and it's all in one system, I would trust Apple to be able to do that and do a good job with it. And I think that that's what would cause people to jump from having many different devices to do one thing to having one home centralized system that will be able to run them all.
Mm-hmm. It's another one of those, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. It seems more of like a gradual thing, right? Like maybe you'll add a remote light here somewhere. You'll get a security system. But I don't know if Apple's going to be compelling enough to make people, go into its system. I wonder if this is a situation where HomeKit may have to play better with the existing standards, too.
Let's take a break. Come back with more. Devendra Hardawar from Engadget, senior editor there, from iMore.com. Georgia Dow. Oh, Doctor, from Places. No, he's just cool.
I can spin. We can all do the spin.
Let's all spin.
We're all gonna spin.
I can spin in my Dr. Evil chair.
Where's the cat? You need Mr. Bigglesworth.
It's most evil when I spin. I can spin the whole studio. Did you see that?
What's happening here?
It's most evil when I spin all the way around. Watch this. This is
good. Oh, look at that.
Oh.
What is up with that?
I've brought you all here to talk about sharks with lasers.
It's from the bunker. That's the part of the bunker chair.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Our show today brought to you by GoToMeeting. Time to step up your meeting game. Take your meetings to the next level with GoToMeeting. I use GoToMeeting for every meeting, even if it's just a phone call, a conference call, because I can always fire up the camera and then we can see each other. I can always fire up the screen sharing, then they can see what I'm seeing. I can show my PowerPoint. We can collaborate on documents. It lets you easily work and collaborate with clients and colleagues no matter where they are. Be a meeting MVP all the day long with GoToMeeting. And with teams and clients now spread out all over the globe, this is a must-have. The nice thing is you can get going real fast for free by going to GoToMeeting.com. It works with your webcam so you can see your colleagues and clients in high def. Next best thing to being in the same room. It lets you share your screen so you can share the same page. You can pass off presenter duties with ease so you can take turns. You can even send private chats and video links behind the scenes. Couldn't be easier, more efficient, and faster, and you can try it free for the next 30 days. Be the next meeting MVP at GoToMeeting.com. Just click on that orange button that says try it free. Go to meeting. We love it. I think we've covered WWDC. We got it all, right? Ready to go to E3? Or wait a minute. I want a palate cleanser. In between the heavy courses here, let's have a little palate cleanser, a little something from OnePlus called the OnePlus 3. Devendra, you must have one, right?
I don't have one. It was Chris Velasco at Engadget who reviewed it, but yeah. It's a nice looking phone. What can I say? It's what, $400?
Well, that's what's
high end features.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I've ordered one as you know for myself. Won't come till next week because I need something to put on the pile. Where you know we
you
depleted.
Need it.
I got to start.
This is how your next
start a new one.
New
bunker pile. We had Florence Ion on the new Screensavers yesterday. She had a OnePlus 3. She'd had it for a couple of weeks. She was reviewing it. Very impressed. All aluminum. Kind of looks like that HTC 10 aluminum body.
But everything looks like the HTC phone now. Like the iPhone does. Come on.
It's thin. It does have that iPhone thinness. Mm-hmm. I know MKBHD was complaining, and I agree with him. I don't disagree with him, that the camera bump is so big. He said, mm-hmm. just don't make it so thin. Make it as big as the camera bump and have more battery. It is a smaller battery than last year, 3,000 milliamp hours, although... I've seen a lot of reviews. Florence agreed that the battery life is decent, right? As good as...
How long is the battery life for?
Well, you know, people don't like to give numbers because everybody's mileage may vary. She says it's as good as the S7, which is pretty good. She says it wasn't as good for her as the S7 Edge, which is what I use. And I really want to... I would like to replace the S7 Edge. It's a more pure Google experience because they use Oxygen, which is OnePlus's version of Android that is pretty close to stock Android.
Mm-hmm.
Snappy 820. One weird spec. They put 6 gigs of RAM in it, and there's a little dispute over, whether that 6 gigs even is necessary or is used.
Right.
XDA developers say, as far as we can tell, because they're fairly aggressive about killing background apps, you never really get close to using 6 gigs of RAM. So it's more like a spec that they put in there that, but nobody's going to ever need.
It sounds good though.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
When you do
people
a comparison, you're
more.
Like, "Whoa, they got 6 up in there."
6 gigs.
Okay.
It may be useful for Android VR down the line. Like as we see more mobile VR things take off, like having those higher specs will be a big deal.
Oh, but this would not be a good choice for VR because it's a 1080p screen.
Oh, right.
So lower res screen means not so good for VR. It is they call it an optic AMOLED. It's not. It's
AMOLED.
That's Pentile, though. So it's not as good as the Super AMOLED that Samsung has the
shame.
Best screens.
That is
they
a shame.
Just. Samsung owns these screens. They've locked in the market.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about like true VR too is that I've talked to the Oculus folks. They like what you need an OLED mobile screen to do VR right. So that's one thing. Like even the iPhone right now, like will not. No. You can have some 360 degree experiences, but you can't have even something like the Samsung Gear VR at this point.
Why do you need OLED?
It's because of the way the I think it's the response time is just much lower. And you have
latency is everything on these. That's what makes people.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll make you sick. It'll make you sick, unfortunately.
For
it's
sure.
going to be a really
sure.
poor
okay.
VR experience if you don't have it. So.
Have you noticed that when you use cardboard on your phone, on your iPhone, Georgia, that makes you more queasy than
Yeah, the latency is something that you want to, and it's also just like, you know, if you see it becomes pixelized, you're not going to feel as comfortable while you're using it. And
right.
I think that that's the thing, is that even when at one point on the Vive, I like the floor kind of like moved at a different when I wasn't moving, I had something downloading on my computer at the same time, and I was like, whoa, I have to sit down. And
yeah.
So if you have a bad VR experience, you're never going to go back to it. So it's better to have, you know, a screen that's going to be able to really not give you a latency, and also to be able to see things really smoothly.
So don't buy this and hope to use it with Google Cardboard or a VR visor. It does do some interesting things with power. They have something called Dash Charge. It requires a proprietary adapter. You have to use their adapter. But it apparent, according to specs and, in fact, to Florence, 60% charge in just half an hour.
That's amazing.
Yeah. In fact, one reviewer, I can't remember the name, Gadget, said, this changes how I think about charging my phone. I don't even charge it overnight. I just charge it, you know, at meal, at, like for breakfast or something, because it charges up so fast. Fast fingerprint reader. I was very impressed with that. It feels very snappy. It's a very fast phone. The screen color is good.
Do you need it, Leo, or are you just...
Oh, I don't need anything. I just buy them because I want to review them. No, but that's my job. I need to review them. And I could have called OnePlus and said, hey, we need a review unit, but I don't want to be called back.
He's the Bernie Sanders of tech. He's not going to be persuaded by gifts. He's going to spend his cold, hard ducats.
I want to tell you, I do not have to call. I buy every... What is with the jacket? What is that?
You're about to be that old too, so
you're right. I'll be walking around.
You gave away my inheritance. You are on the hot seat for the rest of this day.
That was your inheritance.
You don't know the kind of mint I could have made off of. you don't know the sentimental value to my heart.
I got it. Yeah,
you don't understand.
You sound like my son right about now.
That's why he's sending text messages. Now I know what's going on over
there.
Giving away our future.
By the way, clever slogan for Dash: less time in the socket, more time in the pocket.
Ooh.
Sounds vaguely filthy.
Yeah.
It's salacious.
It sounds like, I don't know.
And that charge time, I got to check it, but my iPhone charges pretty quick. I also do the cheat thing where I put it on airplane mode, but my phone charges up like nothing.
Well, that's, okay. So
Really,
you raise an interesting thing. You have to put in airplane mode. So that is true on all of these quick charges. If the phone is on, it charges much more slowly. This does not work that way because the charger is external. So it, in fact, charges just as fast whether you're in airplane mode or not.
Well, I understand that they say that. But again, when a person says, oh, I get up in the morning and do my 30-minute thing. Well, my 30-minute thing, I'm not answering my phone. I'm taking a shower, brushing my teeth, making some eggs.
Perfect. That's when you charge it up.
Bacon. And that's what I tried to do. I don't need it ringing. So
this tech isn't exactly new. It's something Qualcomm's been putting in their
mobile. Is Dash the same as Quick Charge?
I'm not quite sure if it's the same. I haven't looked at the specs, but I'm surprised that more companies aren't taking full advantage of that stuff. Like, right, they're all using these same chips, but they may not all be enabling the same features. But you can get something similar from, you know, the new Galaxy S7 and everything and other phones.
But I buried the lead because the real point of this is $399.
Yeah, yeah.
64 gig storage, 6 gigs of RAM, 820, $399.
64 gigs of storage, eh?
There's nothing lower, nothing bigger.
There you go.
One size fits all.
Because that's what every... Oh, stop it. Yeah, again. I want to get angry again. That's great. Good job, guys.
Don't make Owen angry.
$399 and 64 gigs with Android is plenty. And
for sure.
$399 is good. No SD card. Does have a fingerprint reader. Mm-hmm.
No, it does, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, no, it has a very good fingerprint reader. Very fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point is that here's basically a flagship phone at half the cost of what other people are charging.
This is what OnePlus has been building towards for years too. So kind of cool to see that they finally gotten there. I wonder how long we will see $600, $700 Android phones coming out, because I've just noticed, like, after writing about them and reviewing some of them for so long, like, they're not that interesting anymore either. You know, they're
great.
We're seeing really incremental improvements, but I don't care about 4K screens in mobile too much unless it's going to be about VR. There's a lot of things like we are way past like the tech people actually need for a really fast and functional smartphone.
Okay. That was our amuse-bouche, our palate cleanser Just a little 1+3 palette. I feel so much better.
Am I the only one that wants just all my phones to be inductive charging, though? Like,
I do, and you can't do that with a metal phone.
I don't want to plug in anything.
Yeah, you can't do that with a metal phone. No, I'm with you.
I want it all inductive.
That's why Apple's doesn't do it either, because it's metal.
Hopefully, hopefully we'll see more of that. I've actually been testing out Mophie's new charging cases that all have wireless charging built in.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's pretty cool. And they're actually going to be doing this moving forward in all of their cases. And that's smart, right? Because you can make an argument for having a battery case, but having one that you just plop down. And they have these cool magnetic charging cradles and stuff, too, and even like a stand for your desk or your car. And your phone just clips on. Like, that's a really smart use of wireless charging, and it's been nice. It's nice just dropping my phone down.
Yeah, not having to fiddle around and worry about like putting it in and was it all done right? Just
The magnets set it help. And forget so, it.
Less time in the socket, more time in the pocket.
Not quite true for wireless, but it charges
doesn't
slower.
Go in the socket at all? Actually, more time on the pad. Less time in your
the
dad.
Pad. Okay. Oh.
I'm so tired of plugging in
Happy
things.
Father's
the technology.
No, it's good.
So hard.
It's good. It's antiquated.
Wireless.
With the button.
Wireless.
That was censored.
You know, what I need more is more
don't
wires.
Don't do that. No, it's
wires.
Antiquated. We are so beyond that. I shouldn't.
Brain.
I don't
know nothing more. About charging no wireless.
Through brain waves. I need more. Oh, I got it.
Oh, too much work. Too much work.
I like how you were actively trying not to plug it in because it's so easy now to just plug it in.
Oh, but you make it sound so difficult with the pad. It's just you plop it and you flop it.
No,
it's
nice though. Like if you have your phone in your desk or something, or if you, it's a nice way to like kind of simplify our technology a bit. So if it's on your car, right? If you have one of those magnet charging vents, instead of like dangling a cable from the phone to the car charger and everything, you just plop your phone on and
then
there you go.
Then I got to buy an adapter because I bought a new phone this year and
so
I got $80. So many of my tech
is all dead because I haven't charged it because I don't want to find the stupid wire. I hate having wires all over the place. Like
the
my podcast
is
room is like
wire.
Wires.
It's got to be somewhere.
No, the pad can hold multiple things technically.
Exactly.
Like
I just want to have a big table where I can just set everything on. Yeah. It's always going to be charged. It's ridiculous to have all these wires everywhere. They're ugly. They look horrible. I have to fiddle around. I have to find the right charging for whichever one. They each have a different type of dongle.
That pad's going to cost you the price of a small child with all these devices you're talking about.
Actually, though,
your old desk is a pad. I set my laptop down. I put my TV on it. I put my Apple TV.
And by the way, don't touch anything because you don't want to move it off the charge spot. It'll stop charging.
You touched it.
The next step is like truly wireless, like magnetic resonance charging, and I've seen a couple companies work with that right now, and that could be really interesting.
Is that like my toothbrush does it? What is that?
I think I was talking to Osea. This was the company. They have like this. They were at CES. They have like this big, it's a machine that sits in the corner of your room or something. And it's just like sending out power, wirelessly. And if you have their chip or like one of their cases or something, you just have to be looking at it and your phone will be getting power.
Look at it and your phone charges.
It's using line of sight type stuff right now. But
how far?
It's sort of like how you used to think about. I'm not sure how far. It was like in a room. So it was just
like a few feet.
No, maybe like it could be like maybe 20 feet or so. I didn't like get to test it fully, but it's more like in 5 to 10 years, like it's sort of like how we used to think about Wi-Fi, right? Like the idea of internet, just you put your computer down and you're getting internet from nowhere. That was amazing. And
I don't think that stuff's going to work. I think it would fry your kidneys if you did that.
Oh, look,
everyone said that about Wi-Fi. It's the same technology. It's very similar.
Difference is Wi-Fi is just transmitting information. This has to send enough energy to charge a phone through your kidney. That is different.
Leo. It's interesting. To me, ultimately, that's more interesting than even the wireless charging pads because then, you just walk in and everything is getting power. Or even, like, they pose this idea of, like, you walk into, like, maybe a mall or something and they're you know, generating charging
as you go.
Yeah, it's charging. As you walk. You could pay like $5 and get your phone charged as you walk around the mall.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like
your
that.
Your kidneys have 25% more power, Leo. Your heart.
I think it's just a cancer in the making. I don't think it's a good idea.
America is a cancer maker. It's what we do. Imagine you had like what's the thing in the heart where it pumps thing? You got a heart where it needs
pacemaker.
What's that thing called? A pacemaker. Just filling up the juice in your pacemaker. You ain't got to go in and get the surgery to get the new battery put in, Uncle Leo. This is amazing. And that's what I'm waiting for. Forget your little pad.
I think this, you know, there's another system that we already, I think, know was snake oil, which is U-Beam, right? So this was the same idea, only using supersonic sound across the room to charge. They're still a company, as far as I know. But one of the engineers wrote a post saying, yeah, no, that doesn't work.
Well, I'm not a dolphin.
And the investors were pissed at this guy. No, that it doesn't. It didn't really work. but I would trust sound waves more than I would trust whatever the high power magnetic resonance waves. Let me ask you this. If you get an MRI, does the technician stay in the room or does he get behind a lead sheet?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't. Yeah, I may have been wrong.
I'm not wearing lead underpants just because I want to charge my phone across the room.
I don't think it's actually magnet. It may be something else. But whatever they're doing is just, it's kind of interesting. Like, to me, like, that's going to be much more useful to us down the line than even, like, the pads.
It's magnetic induction? I don't know what it is.
E3, get off my power.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Well, we have so much more to talk about, but I do want to take a little bit of break because we had a great week. This was a very big week. We had E3. Father Robert and Brian were down. Did you have a good time at E3, Brian?
Had a great time.
Yeah.
The first day was a blur. Second day, I actually got to walk around and check things out a little bit more.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the big announcements, but there were also lots of games. Did you see any games that made you really want to play?
Yeah, I mean, everywhere you turn, but the ones that leap out are the new Zelda, but that's probably not coming out until the next Nintendo's released, and there was a pirate game that looked pretty cool, where it's like 6 players co-op.
You know, you showed that one on your wrap-up. It looked like a lot of steering a ship around.
Yeah.
That's boring.
You know, pirate stuff gets scurvy.
Is this a fun game or what? Arr, avast ye mateys! Mizzen up the power mast! Put on the magnetic resonant induction!
Or it be the co-op experience, matey.
I feel the co-op in my blood. I was very excited about Cuphead.
Yes.
But I wanted to point out that Cuphead was also a big excitement in E3 last year.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So, like, what, are they just going to keep showing the same trailer every year? Anyway,
I know why this appeals to you. That game, like, it takes a while. Yeah.
Do you know why that appeals to you, Uncle Leo?
Cuphead, why?
I'm asking you. Do you have the answer? Because I want to tell you if you're right or wrong or not. But why does that?
I feel that Cuphead appeals to me because it reminds me of my youth.
Yep, that's exactly why. Because you were an old man and you remember the Disney black and white cartoons where Mickey Mouse was doing with the.
But surely, even you watch these cartoons, right?
I'm half your age, and I do remember them. My grandparents would put them on, and they were delightful.
Your grandparents would put them on. You're just hitting below the belt now. And my kidneys are already half baked from that magnetic charging.
You gave away my inheritance. I told you the rest of the day is done for you.
Doesn't this look like a fun game?
It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks cute. I don't know. 2D games in comparison 60s. To VR games. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
something like Cuphead makes me.
I did.
You're really into VR now. You're like the VR queen.
You can't go back. You cannot go back. It's just one of those things.
Now this is a side scroller, and I have to say that the Oculus Rift comes with a side scroller. Foxtails.
Lucky's Tale.
Lucky's Tale.
Yeah. And it's sort of like a side scroller, except like
you're in it.
All around. Yeah.
You're in it.
It's super cool, though. Yeah.
It makes it so much more fun.
Yeah.
And until I can play like Gods of War or Drake's Fortune or Tomb Raider in one of those games,
you want a vivid, realistic experience.
You want Vanishing Realms. You are in it. You are.
Yeah.
Is this on the Vive?
I can go skeet shooting. I want
something. Vanishing Realms. Like she's saying, that's a cool.
Do we own Vanishing Realms, Brian?
Not that I know.
I'm going to go back there and buy it.
It's one of the best games. One of the best games. Better than Star Seed.
I'll confess to you that I like it and I enjoy it, I don't find it compelling enough that I, having a free moment, go back and play the Vive. We have it all set up. Mm-hmm. It's just back there.
I mean, yeah, once you go through some of the initial experiences, have you played Adrift
yet? Oh, I've played this game. This is dopey.
Yeah.
No, you have to go. You have to go further in. It's like the second, the first. Part
I
is
lit
a little
the.
Bit slower.
I got the things and I put them in the bowl and I lit them on fire and then skeleton.
You go further. You have to go further in. The second episode is so. Mm-hmm.
Is it? Does it get better?
You don't play real games.
Really, really good.
I play real games.
No, you play real games. Georgia does not.
What? No,
well, this is a cheesy. This is a kind of a. And that's the part of the problem with VR right now is that the games are not as vivid and as immersive because
I'm just waiting.
Yeah, the technology is not ready for that yet.
Have you played Adrift, Leo? That's the one where you're sort of like in space and you're in a space station.
On the Rift.
On the Rift.
That made me hurl like nobody's business. I don't. No, that's one game that really will make you hurl because you're like this. It's very vivid.
Yeah.
But you get space sickness. It's so effective.
This is an entirely new medium. Like I can understand your skepticism, Owen. But it's like
I'm just waiting.
This
that's
is
all.
New.
I'm not,
this is what is happening here. Let's take a couple months to figure out like how we deal with this new narrative medium. But we're seeing cool things. Like Adrift is pretty cool. You know, I've seen
Adrift is definitely cool. I mean, there's no doubt about it because you get the experience of being in zero G.
Have you played Project Brookhaven? On the Vibe.
Brookhaven
no, I don't know
is
that
great.
One. There's a drift.
It's great, Brookhaven but you're in the center, terrifying. Right? Like you're in the center it's and zombies so are coming at you.
I want to be scared.
Yeah.
That
I want to be scared.
Brookhaven, like you're in an abandoned parking lot, zombies are coming after you, and there's you have a gun and a flashlight, but there's no reticule. Like you have to aim it as if you were aiming a real gun. Like,
oh,
you have
that's
to have,
good.
Like, a certain sense of aiming. Oh. It's really great, really scary, and we're seeing VR kind of tap into these new experiences that games right now really can't
the
do.
Hot new
that
reticuleless game.
I fully understand that Lawnmower Man is cutting my grass right now, and he's here. I get that. I'm fully excited for Resident Evil in VR because that has a story. It has a life of its own. I'm excited about
there are VR
Arkham.
Games with stories right now, and right now actually,
I know,
funny,
but I mean like real
Resident
stories,
Evil.
Not new stories.
I'm looking for a VR game I could play
I want
sitting down.
Real.
You want
I just
want
to relax.
Like seventh entry in the G3? Resident Evil franchise. That's new. I mean,
I want to sit down. That's why I like that's why I like the PlayStation VR.
That's why you like.
You're
that's
sitting
why you
down.
Like that in Oculus.
It's
yeah,
kind of cool.
Going like this. You're not
but actually,
2X.
Like we wrote a hands-on of the Resident Evil PSVR experience, and it's rough because haven't figured out the frame rate right. So it made one of our writers, Jessica Condit, it made her incredibly sick, and she's somebody who's never had motion sickness.
And by
like,
the way, that sickness
or in other VR,
that lasts.
Yeah.
You are sick for a while.
She was out for like down
you
for
can
10
use,
or 20 minutes.
There's a way to get rid of it. If you're really sick from using VR, take a slice of fresh ginger.
Yes.
Slice a piece right off and chew it. And in about 15 minutes, it'll go away.
That's the sort of
it's
thing.
It's better than anything else.
I had an Air Force the pilot tell me, yes, you take a washcloth and you put it in a bowl of ice water and you fold it up nice and neat and you put it right on the back of your neck. Mm. And,
the ginger will work faster than even
really?
Medication that you can get or like from a prescription. It's that effective. So
I want a game. I want a game where I'm on the porch and I'm saying, it's going to be called Get Off My Lawn.
Get Off My Lawn.
And hey, get off of my lawn.
You're just going to be O'Doc
right
yelling at other
free.
People wearing VR. You're
hey.
Going to be me on the porch yelling at people wearing VR masks.
Get off my lawn.
But the reason I bring up the PSVR stuff is just I'm kind of worried from some of the things we saw at E3 because we saw Sony, they're mandating, 60 FPS for those games?
Yeah.
Even though we know at this point, we've known for a year or so at least, like from what Oculus and HTC have found, that you really need 90 FPS. You need a really nice, smooth frame rate and fast refresh rate to kind of make the games look good and not make you sick. The 60 FPS stuff on the PSVR could be a problem.
It's not enough.
It wasn't just Resident Evil. It was Final Fantasy 7, or not 7, Final Fantasy 15. They had a weird little VR experience that was also making people sick. Like, I'm worried that the PS4 as it is right now doesn't have enough horsepower to like really give good smooth VR experiences, and that could be a big problem for Sony.
Which could be a big thing for VR altogether too, because if people have enough really poor experiences with VR, they're not going to want to go back to it. They're going to say, listen, that made me nauseous. They won't know about the ginger trick to be able to get rid of it in like 10 minutes. And so they're going to feel nauseous. And you will feel sick for like a good 4 hours. Some people, it's like 6 to 8 hours. You will feel a little bit off the rest of the time without
doing
that.
That's not good.
So that's not good. And that's the problem
PSVR
is that VR is so new that you know, people will be like, you know what, this is not good, don't ever try it. I had with the HTC Vive, and that's like running at 90 frames per second. There's a few games that are just really processor heavy, and I can feel it's a, there's a little bit of latency, and so I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to wait on that game. So
I talked to...
They have the new hardware that they haven't announced, like Microsoft has announced. They call it their new Xbox Morpheus Project 8 Zelda Nation, which is basically...
Scorpio,
you're right. But basically, it's just a PC with an Xbox sticker on it.
Hold on. I do want to talk about that, and we'll talk about more in just a second. We're going to take a little break here, and I want to show you, because I think, Brian, you're in this, a little bit of what you might have missed if you missed this week on Twitter.
Previously... On Twit. Twit Live Specials.
From the latest and greatest software releases, to the slickest, the fastest, and the most stylish hardware, to an indie festival that pops up in the middle of the show floor, we brought Twit TV here to Los Angeles for E3 2016.
This Week in Law.
We're joined by Rebecca Krutoff. Rebecca is an expert on all things related to lethal autonomous weapons systems.
You can imagine a situation where an autonomous weapons system takes some action that would constitute a serious violation of international humanitarian law, but no person acted willfully.
The new screensavers.
Flo's review of the OnePlus 3, ladies and gentlemen. Oops. This is going to be the modder's choice because of the price.
I agree.
The quality of the hardware and the ease of modding.
Hey, if you're looking for an affordable flagship and you're sick of Samsung, I mean, give this guy a try.
Twit. Test drive one today.
So I've been watching phones now as they charge because I'm very curious.
Well, that's thrilling.
I've worked that into my work day, okay? I'm just going to sit there and watch it charge.
It's a little faster than grass growing.
That's Florence Zion. She was great on New Screensavers, if you didn't see that this week. We got a big week ahead. Who has the week ahead this week? It's Megan Maroney.
Thank you, Leo. Coming up this week, there's nothing quite so high profile as WWDC or E3, but we will look forward to some tech news coming out of RSA Asia, London Technology Week, and VidCon in Anaheim, the place to meet and greet all your favorite YouTube stars. Unless, of course, your favorite YouTube star is Leo, because he will not be there. And get ready to party like it's 1999, because there's a big tech IPO on the horizon. All eyes are on cloud communications company Twilio. San Francisco-based Twilio claims to be changing communications forever by empowering software people to build the future of our modern communications apps. We will be watching to see what happens on Wall Street. And finally, perhaps the most important news to me is that this week we'll see the release of Unicode 9.0. That means new emoji, including but not limited to the lying face, the man dancing, bacon shrimp, and the pregnant woman, because what better way to announce the good news than through an emoji? Actually, there are a lot better ways to announce the good news. Please do not use an emoji. You can hear about all this good news and more coming up this week on Tech News Today.
I love it. Megan Maroney, thank you. Great. Tech News Today, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC. No rifle emoji, by the way, in Unicode 9.
I thought that was an I'm fat emoji, but I guess it's the I'm pregnant emoji, so I can't use it.
I don't know. Let's look at it. Wait a minute. Let me just look. Remember that it's in the Unicode spec, but then everybody's going to make it look different, right? So, yeah, I don't think you... Well, you might be able to use this.
I thought that was I just had Thanksgiving dinner emoji. Like,
I just played Gear VR. And yeah, they were apparently considered a rifle emoji, and that was vetoed by... a number of the players. Wilted flower? What would you use a wilted flower for?
Sad. I'm sad.
My God, that's depressing.
That is the only emoji.
A flower that has died or wilted due to a lack of water. A petal falls.
That's how I felt when I wasn't invited to WWDC.
Oh, just me. How about this one? You might like this one. The heavy, heavy black heart.
Oh, I like that one.
Classic red heart emoji. Where's the black part? Oh, Samsung makes it black. Everybody else is just a red heart. Why? I don't... What?
We have hearts already. Yeah.
We already have hearts.
I like the black heart, though. That has a specific significance.
This character piece read on all platforms and displayed with emoji presentation, not to be confused with the black heart emoji.
What?
What the what? There's a heavy black... Oh, my God. Are they crazy?
That's much more useful than the blue heart.
Now the they've just got too many choices. This is the cup,
darkness.
The cuphead emoji. How about, this is the one I'm going to use from now on. Huh? Whatever. I don't know. It's the shrug.
Oh, man.
I thought that was, I'm not bringing as great two as plates the shrug to your table.
The ASCII. Isn't the ASCII shrug better? Yeah, I like the ASCII.
ASCII shrug is better.
Do you know how to type that?
No, I just copy and paste
it. Yeah, me too.
All the time.
Well, apparently, all you have to do is write in the word and click the button soon because Apple's made everything easy.
It's called emojification. Wow.
I'm going to do that. Every single tweet to you, Owen, is going to have that, and then I'm going to have the confetti in the background.
I confess, I was very excited about emojification.
Were you?
Yeah. Because you type something. It's the dad. It's, by the way, this is all for dads and moms. This has nothing to do with kids. Young people go, oh, please, stop sending me that crap. But you can type a sentence, and then it will identify any word in the sentence that can be replaced with an emoji, and then you one by one can say yes. So if you say, I feel like a face with a cowboy hat, there you go. It'll just let you choose that. These are all the new emojis, the cowboy emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Who's lobbying for this? The clown
Georgia Dow.
I'd have more like unicorns, mine would be even crazier. You don't want me having any control over emoji.
The rifle and the modern pentathlon were the two that were removed. The modern pentathlon, it's sad to say, will not be an emoji.
I didn't even know if that existed.
Yeah, it's five different sports: riding, shooting, fencing, swimming, and running.
I want to know someone that actually used that emoji.
The modern pentathlon.
I need to know.
I know you've all been waiting for Mother Christmas, a.k.a. Mrs. Claus.
I see.
Yeah. The wife.
Aren't we supposed to be talking about E3? Can we?
Okay, sorry. I'm just having way too much fun looking at these new emoji.
I am anti-emoji.
Deer, rhinoceros, bat,
are you
eagle.
Anti-emoji? What?
No, he likes stickers. Are you into stickers?
Black heart to Owen. Owen's going to get the black heart
yes. For Owen.
Let the darkness spread.
That is it.
Come on, Owen. Who doesn't like the shallow pan of food emoji? I kid
Isn't
you
that
not.
The paella emoji.
It's the paella, also known as paella, or shallow pan of food.
Yeah. There you go.
It looks tasty.
These emojis are just about as useful as what I'm doing right now.
Don't you? He's brushing his bald head.
This is like lobbying.
These are like little, like the Paella Consortium. The Paella Foundation lobby.
Paella lobbyists have come in.
To a certain degree, though, like this is sort of the new language for a lot of people, or at least just like how we're communicating with text.
I guess it's nonverbal. Kind of. It's language independent.
I need to see how it's evolving.
Everyone knows a pouty face. They know sadness. Right. They know happiness. They know the black heart of Owen.
Ooh, that's what we should call
it. First of all, there were many teachers that would tweet pictures of kids putting in IDK and stuff in their writing. Yep. Now there are going to be artists just drawing emojis like we're destroying children's lives.
No, I beg to differ.
The language is going to be images to a universal language.
I agree. And Trey Ratcliffe was the first to tell me this a couple of years ago. He said, we are going to raise a generation that is about images. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing. It does change how you think. If you're less verbal, obviously everybody's going to be verbal because we have to talk and write. But images are going to be, once again, a big part of our culture. And they, in pre-literate societies, I mean, if you go see these beautiful stained glass windows in cathedrals all over Europe, that's for a pre-literate society. Those are Bible stories told in pictures. And he said, we're going to kind of come back to that. And I don't know if that's
a bad thing.
It'd
not be a good thing. But I'm sure Wittgenstein is like rolling in his grave. But yeah.
Why would Wittgenstein be? Did you just throw that in to show off?
Yeah.
Philosophy degree.
Philosophy of language. I don't remember much from my philosophy studies because most of it is just like not that super interesting or relevant. Yeah. But the whole idea behind Wittgenstein is that he was all about like language evolving and kind of conforming to the way people use it. So it's sort of like the GIF and JIF debate, right? Like the fact that we all have basically started calling it GIF, even though the creator wants it to be JIF, doesn't matter. it's GIF because
it is
that's
GIF,
what we have called.
That's right.
That's the way we use it.
That's right. That's right. How we're using it. And it's interesting to see how like emojis are going in or kind of evolving on their own and how they're conforming to like how we're using them right now.
As you said, Wittgenstein must be rolling in his grave.
Yeah. The last 2 minutes and 30 seconds just cost $30,000 for his education. Finally got to use it. So kudos to you on breaking that out.
Oh, the black heart. The black heart of Owen J.J. Stone, my friends.
There we go.
First of all,
there we go.
I could make you feel really guilty because I had a black heart.
It saves me 1,000 words to be able to use, a Bitmoji to say, how.
But it's also nuanced. It's more nuanced, right? Yeah. It's not just words are very concrete, relatively concrete.
It's so much more fun. Let's just be straight. I do it because it's fun. Like I have to search some now. Before Bitmoji had you could actually type in what kind of feeling you want, or I have to search through the emoji for like an hour. I'll search through the emoji for like finding the right one because that brings me joy. And in the end, that's a great way to deal with.
Well, you don't have to do it anymore. You can emoji
cold, unintonated text.
Aww, see there, you get the red heart.
Is it not working? Is it not working? Because I got this remote. I'm trying to change the channel back to E3 and talk about Microsoft and something useful. Can we please?
Let me do an ad before.
I locked it with my pink MacBook. You see?
Oh, Lord.
Add it up and give me out of these emojis.
Taking a break. We'll come back. And Owen will get to talk about the Xbox One S.
Scorpio Morpheus XPS
and the Scorpio.
98,000.
Our show today brought to you by Gazelle. You know, one thing you learn from these shows is it's, time to get a new device, a new gadget, a new gizmo, and the best place to go to trade in the old gadget gizmo is Gazelle. They'll give you cash for your old iPhone, your own Galaxy phone, your old tablet, whether it's from Microsoft or Google or Samsung or Apple. They even buy broken iPhones, broken iPads, and give you cash on the barrelhead. The best part is you can go and get a quote right now that locks them in. It doesn't lock you in, but it locks them in for 30 days. You have 30 days to decide whether you want to take that quote, shop it around, or maybe keep the old device. The best thing is not to throw it in a drawer, just let it gather dust. You wouldn't do that with a $100 bill. Why would you do that with your old phone or your own tablet? Go to gazelle.com, get a quote on your old devices. Get as many of them as you can together. When it's time to sell, they'll send you a box prepaid so you don't have to pay the postage. If you forget to remove the data, they'll do it for you. And then they'll send you either a check or a PayPal credit if you're in a hurry, or, and this is my recommendation, get the Amazon gift card if you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon because they bump that up by 5%. A little thank you from Gazelle. They also sell. Now, this is new. So they take the best stuff that people sell to them, and they sell it back to you at a great price. Every device that Gazelle sells, and they're limited just to iPhones, iPads, and Samsung Galaxy phones. Each of them fully inspected, backed by a 30-day return policy. No carrier contract, but they will, of course, work on all the major carriers. Go to thegazelle.com and buy as well as sell. We do offer financing from a firm, so you can pay in 3, 6, or 12 months. Just check the box. It says financing with a firm at checkout, and it's really quick. Just boom. You can also get warranties now, 12-month warranties for cell phones and iPads powered by Assurant Solutions that covers water damage, cracked screens, hardware defects, and more. Gazelle. It's an all-in-one to buy and to sell. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Gazelle.com. Give new life to used electronics. Trade in for cash or buy certified pre-owned at gazelle.com. Owen J.J. Stone is here. Oh, Dr. ICMZ.com. Is it doing it? Is it doing it?
Man, there is a great podcast interview show with me and Georgia on there where you can learn all the secrets of Georgia Dow, possibly even her legitimate name. I'm not saying.
Wait
I
a minute, you interviewed Georgia Dow on IQMZ?
Oh, yeah, and it's not, you don't even know. Like you, she's using a false name. On
what? That's not her real name? You,
that's not her real name?
She's not. Her real name's Carolina, isn't it?
Oh,
is
you
it Carolina?
Wait till you find out what her real name is.
Is it Mississippi?
Ooh, you close. You are at
is
the
it
southern border
than you know.
Of
you're
Georgia's
close
real name.
Is it Louisiana?
That's a great name.
I know what it is. Florida.
You are so close.
Florida Dow.
You got to listen to find out because apparently she revealed it to me by accident.
Wow,
I tricked her into
Georgia.
The guiltiness of it.
Do you
she
use?
Didn't even mean to.
Is this Doc Tales? Is that the one?
Sweat.
Yeah, it's Doc Tales.
Secret Life of Georgia Who. Nice.
Georgia, who? That's right. You're going to find out.
I feel like I still got a little something started here. Like, I could take responsibility.
Oh, I'm trying to con Georgia into doing a show with me so we can just
you better not.
You when you don't leave our inheritance, you know.
She's mine. That's what I'm supposed to be. I'll you know, fight
I'm
you.
I'm working the back channels. We're DMing all the time. I'm trying to make it happen.
Has she sent you any emojis?
She sends me Bitmojis. I am so... Bitmoji. Her Bitmojis were messed up. I was so happy emoji. She couldn't Bitmoji me.
Bitmojis
She's
are
addicted.
Messed up.
She's
you got it.
They're messed up.
It is a good thing. You don't have a Bitmoji?
I do.
Okay, that's all that matters.
I do. I downloaded the
Vincent,
program
and
did
it. Do you have a Bitmoji?
I do not.
No, he doesn't seem like... He's too serious.
He's a good man.
I prefer GIFs to emojis, but I understand the emojis.
I'm an animated GIF guy.
Yep. Oh, I like that. Yep. That's cute.
I'm a giffer.
That's me. Doesn't that look like me, except with soulful eyes?
That does look like you.
Yeah. I feel like I should say, hey, girl.
That looks like 28-year-old you.
Okay, shut up. They didn't have old emojis. They don't have old bit emojis.
I need to update this emoji. I need to...
I want you to know they don't have old bit emojis.
We're going to make one. Internet, get on that. Make Uncle Leo old Uncle Leo bit emoji.
Next on Matlock. So that's IQMZ.com and DocTales, which is a great name for a podcast. And I see this. You've just started this. This is good.
Yeah. I do a sports show. I do a tech show, kind of. I'm trying to con Georgia into doing because it makes it better. She's on there because everybody loves her.
By the way, you look great with Donald Trump hair.
Yeah, that's the...
that's not you.
That's Kanye West.
Oh, it's Kanye. How do you say that? Kanye?
That's Kanye.
Kanye?
Yeah, you almost made me mess it up when I said it. I'm going to start calling him Kanye. And
people Kanye?
E3. I want to talk about this dadgum Xbox and such.
Dadgum Xbox coming up. I was just going to say Georgia Dow is also here. Some may know her as Mississippi Dow. She is the person behind a fabulous site, Anxiety Videos, anxiety-videos.com, where it's not just anxiety, it's sleep, depression.
Parenting, we're going to be doing boundaries and consequences, relationship issues.
Oh, you need to listen to that, Owen. Boundaries and consequences.
I don't understand or comprehend or agree or contract.
You know what I'm saying? Boundaries and consequences, Owen.
Nope.
Hey, no, we got no time for that, for boundaries and consequences.
Nope. This is America.
What is it? Anxiety-disorders.com?
Anxiety-videos.com.
Videos. That's it. Videos. And as long as we're plugging away, Devendra Hardawar is at Engadget. What are you working on? What's your... let's not forget Slash Film.
And Slash Film. Yeah, I do the Slash Film Cast podcast at slashfilm.com.
Love Slash Film.
Thanks. Great.
I'm just going to look and see what the most recent. We should mention.
Yes.
Anton Yelchin, who plays the wonderfully played Chekhov, young guy, was only 27, right?
So
years
sad.
Old.
Yeah.
Died yesterday or today. He was killed Sunday morning in a car crash. His car rolled over him or something. It was not good.
It pinned him, yeah.
Pinned him. So he was so good. In the Star Trek reboot. Very sad. Very sad. But that's not all the Slash Film is about. You also have great podcasts about movies. And what movie, what summer blockbuster are you most excited about, Devendra? Finding Dory. Oh, we lost him.
I'm excited about Finding Dory.
Well, you've got little kids. You got to go see that.
No, that's not about the kids. That's about me.
Okay.
I can't wait to the octopus character. He looks adorable, funny, sassy.
Hold on a second. Where's my thing at? Leah just went and saw it yesterday.
Did she? Did she like it?
Hold on.
And?
Oh, you muted yourself so you wouldn't.
I did because I shrieked.
We got the
system. I say her name. If I don't say anything else, she shows up in front of me. If I need her to do something when I shout, then I tell her to do it.
Oh, that's
nice. If I don't say anything, then she comes. We got a
two-girl
system.
So you kind of figured it all out.
Love it.
Dude, we can watch R-rated movies together. If I touch her knee, she closes her eye. If I touch her hand, she closes her ears and her eyes. And then I tap her when she can open her eyes again so we can watch fun things together like Deadpool.
I just jump up. There she is. It worked. My God, it was like saying Beetlejuice, 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 and boom.
You got to give her the headphones for a second.
Yeah.
Lean down, talking to that. Did you like it?
Yes.
What did you like about it?
I like that that she at least found her parents.
Oh, spoiler!
Now, who is your favorite character?
What didn't you like about it?
I didn't like how everybody was starting to get upset and everybody was annoying. And they were just like, no, blah, blah, blah.
I hate it when that happens. That's kind of a SpongeBob thing where they all yell at each other.
That's what I wanted to say. She was annoyed at the movie. She's like, everybody in the movie is so annoying. I'm like, oh, you might be getting a little too old for cartoon movies. Because she loves Zootopia. And she's like, it's not like Zootopia. I'm like, well, Zootopia is like a great.
Should I see Zootopia?
Oh, you haven't seen Zootopia?
No, because it's animated, and I'm not sure if it's a kid movie or not.
Zootopia is a adult, full-on, societal, great, awesome movie. It's a 10 out of 10.
I'll have to see
Zootopia
it.
Really? Zootopia is amazing. That's good.
Good, we'll watch it
too. You didn't see Zootopia either?
No, I thought it, I don't know. I don't
the
watch
trailer was bad.
Films because I was like, you know what? That doesn't look like, it looks like one of the same movies that I've seen.
The trailer was bad. Not a good one.
I don't know. There was one trailer that was just like the joke at the DMV.
Yeah,
just
that
like prolonged.
Yes. I didn't want to. That made me not want to see the movie. It's like, oh God, that's so good.
The movie is great. I missed the last bit of the conversation, but yeah.
It's a great movie. It's just, it's societal. It's about sexism, feminism, racism. Like, it's got all the isms. My favorite part of the movie is not in the trailer. I'm going to spoil it for you. You know, she's trying to get the fox to do something. And the fox is like, you're a rabbit. I'm a fox. I'm smarter than you. Basically, like, you're a woman. You can't trick me into doing nothing.
Interesting.
So I make all this money. I'm doing what I'm doing. She comes back the next day and she's like, oh, well, I couldn't get you on a crime, but I got you on tax evasion. He's like, what? She's like, well, yesterday you told me about how much money you've been making since you were 13 and nobody could ever stop you. And I'm just wondering if you paid taxes since you were 13.
Oh, my God.
Since you haven't, you can either help me or I want to turn you into the IRS. And I'm like, ooh.
Never mess with a woman.
God, I know you don't mess with a woman. Yep. Especially when they talk about money. Mm-hmm. Lord knows. Mm-mm. Great movie.
So your daughter is
a smart movie.
You missed Evinda, the sweetest little girl. Doctor's daughter did a movie review on Finding Dory.
She did not like it. That's why she was struggling to say something nice.
I know. She was so adorable.
Her to say something nice.
And man, is she a beauty?
That's so
she
cute.
Is gorgeous. She is really beautiful. So that's nice.
Thank you. Made her myself.
Proud daddy.
Oh yeah.
Proud daddy.
Super duper.
Xbox One. They announced the S Slim, 40% slimmer. More importantly, now has built into it a Blu-ray UHD player, which means you can buy it instead of a standalone Blu-ray UHD player if you have a 4K TV. Not 4K gaming, though. That's for next year.
Yeah, I'm going to buy one.
And even
of those.
That probably won't be true. I've been waiting. 4K gaming.
It won't? Yeah. What are they going to do?
Probably not. I mean, it's just judging from the hardware we have today, right? The GTX 1080, which is the most powerful video card on the market, even that can't. It gets 4K at 30 FPS. Some games maybe closer to 50.
Okay.
It doesn't quite get to 60.
That's a lot of pixels to push.
That's a lot of pixels. And honestly, like I've said this before, like you, rendering at 4K is such a waste of computing power.
Right.
Like I think if the next Xbox rendered at like 1440p or 2K or maybe some sort of lower resolution and just like up-res a little to 4K, nobody would tell the difference and it would still look good. That would still give it room to do a lot of great visual effects work.
I had a guy called the radio show today, said, what's the best 4K 40-inch TV? I said, don't get a 40 inches. Don't get
that's
a 4K.
All you can buy now, but yeah. Still.
Yeah, I mean, but if it's that small, you don't need 4K.
You don't need it.
And probably for gaming, you don't really need 4K yet.
No, definitely not.
No, but I'm going to get that Xbox finally, so now we can play games together, Uncle Leo, because I want that small one.
I'm an Xbox One fan.
And all that stuff.
And guess what?
I just couldn't do it.
I'm going to get a PlayStation 4 because I want to do the PS4 VR, but now I'm starting to think maybe I should.
Wait on the PlayStation 4.
Really? It's that bad?
Yeah.
I played it, they brought it in for a demo on this Triangulation a couple of weeks ago, and I played that game where you're driving down the highway and the Russian mob is trying to shoot you and you shoot them. And
it was
fun.
Did you get nauseous?
No, not at all.
Nice.
Well, not at all. And I sometimes do. There I am, really looking like Yul Gibbons with my suspenders. And that's just pathetic.
I would just wait a little to see what we hear about the slightly upgraded PlayStation 4. So I don't know if that's going to be next year or holiday season. But yeah.
And you think it needs that for the higher frame rate?
I don't. It may, and maybe some games may require it. I'm worried about gaming in VR will mean on the PS4 as it is right now, but just for your sake, like in terms of like getting the best value in for consumers, right? You may want to wait before buying PS4.
But I don't know if Leo actually cares about the value. He wants to just try it so that he knows that he has every like he has his vault that he has to fill up again.
Yeah. I got a Vive and an Oculus Rift and a Gear VR.
Devendra's talking about regular consumers. He's looking out for the mass. Not really so much.
And I think that's good advice.
Yeah, but, for everyone else, but for Leo, he's probably.
I got to tell you, there's 40 million PlayStation 4 owners, and the price is right. It's only a few hundred dollars. It's the lowest cost VR, you know,
that's
option
out there.
That's
where the market to boom from. So they better fix it. If there's issues like that, they better fix it because that's where the market could explode and bring people in. Again, I'm not dedicating a room, and I really don't want to have a PC. I just don't want to spend all that money on like five games. Maybe when there's 20 games or 30 games. Or something, I have more options, maybe. But right now, I'm not in the review lifestyle, and I just want the PlayStation to work so that I can enjoy the Lawnmower Man like the rest of you guys, but maybe not.
It'll be, I mean, it probably won't be till next year that console VR will be really interesting. Like what Microsoft is talking about with Project Scorpio, like they, it's weird that they even confirmed that there's a new, more, even more powerful Xbox coming next year.
That seems like a self-defeating thing to do because a lot of people just wait.
There were a ton of rumors. There were some leaks before E3, and I think they kind of just had to like get out and say, okay, the Xbox One S, this is here now. Next year, we'll have something better. I also don't know what that'll mean for sales for the Xbox One S or even the Xbox One for this year, but it'll be interesting to see, But you're going to need that horsepower for great VR. That's the thing.
Let me lend this thought process to you. Maybe they're taking the Apple approach because I have a lot of friends that said, oh, I'm just going to trade in my Xbox One and get the slimmer Xbox. So maybe in that mindset, hey, you put it out a new thing. If they offer VR, you just say, okay, well, I'm going to trade in my Xbox One S and then get that.
Yeah, gamers are notorious for patience.
It's not that hard to sell an existing system. Yeah. I think that's probably the best way to do it. But it'll still have some impact on sales. People will just wait too.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you already have an Xbox One, there's not a huge compelling reason to go to the Xbox One S.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the 4K Blu-ray is kind of nice, but whatever Sony ends up putting out, will like the PlayStation, you know, we'll probably have that as well because that's Sony's format. So, I'd expect them to do that.
But I do have to say, at $299, which is how much the least expensive Xbox One S is, the 500 gigabyte version. That is the least expensive UHD Blu-ray player out there by far, like a couple hundred bucks. So,
and that's another way to get into the market with other things. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That carrot.
I don't know.
Well, and that's why I bought the Xbox 360 because I really wanted that HD DVD player. I'm so glad I have that now.
It's rough.
You bet on the wrong horse. That's why I've been on PlayStation for so long because of Blu-ray.
4K Blu-ray itself, like, may not, who knows what legs that standard will have. So,
I don't think it's not like the HD DVD versus Blu-ray that where
it's,
there's
it's
two standards.
It's not about
standards.
The wars. It's more like we don't need it.
If you have a new set, if you have the Super UHD
set. If you have a new set, but even then, like, if you have a new set, you probably have apps built into your TV that can stream in 4K. And
but streaming's never going to be as good as physical media.
Probably not. Like, definitely not. But at the same time, like, that is more than good enough. Like, that is going to still be a leap ahead of maybe 1080p for some people, which honestly, you probably can't even tell the difference between 1080p and 4K. So, like, it's just the idea of 4K media as, like, a physical thing. I don't know who that's for, you know, especially
you
with 4K
mean?
Being such a hard upgrade.
It's for guys. Guys love to say 4K. That they have bigger and better. That's just the way that it kind of goes.
Well, some of us do.
It's a numbers game,
And the bigger the numbers, people are like, well, this is better than what you have. Like, and so I think that numbers matter. I think that, you know, again, we'll end up, you know, it'll end up coming out that people will really need it at some point in time. But,
you know, the funny thing is, it's just, go ahead.
I can't let you get away with saying that you can't tell the difference between 1080p and 4K.
Most people can.
I don't think that I really notice. And I don't think that I would care if I did notice.
Because you're out of this. You just got to say this from me.
But
I'm not being sexist. She just said that. The man was bigger, better.
The thing is, like, in terms of what you can actually see,
Like, I can tell the difference.
You have to be really up close to a really big screen to see that difference. And that's not how you sit back and enjoy a movie. Yeah. So by the time you're on the couch and you're relaxing in your normal position, your eyes aren't seeing much more.
The other issue is, of course, the titles available, which aren't really very...
Yeah.
I mean, The Martian is available, which would be good. The Amazing Spider-Man.
Sicario.
Chappie. Expendables 3. Hancock.
Yeah, most of those.
Why do they bother making Hancock of Pineapple Express? Well, thank God, I've been waiting for that.
Hey, they have this movie library. Ultra real. Sony has to start spitting them out.
The Revenant. Want to see that bear in ultra high def.
I want to feel the hairs on that bear's back.
Oh man, that was too. It was too real as it was. Mm-hmm. Deadpool, I would buy that. Came out already.
But speaking between the difference between physical 4K Blu-ray and streaming, like even streaming right now, you have many more options. That's the other thing too. So it's who's going to want to buy like another $300 or $400 box for this platform, which you may see like negligible advantage over 4K streaming, unless you don't have a fast enough internet connection to handle it. That's the only real reason, I think.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'm just saying I can tell the difference. That's all I'm just saying. You can't just
I mean, we'd all like to think we can tell the difference, but no.
Just because you can't, and maybe it's because you're still wearing glasses and I've got LASIK, but this ultra vision of mine seeing through the lights.
LASIK fades away over time.
When I go back
Georgia,
and I get new
you're
lasers
right.
Shot
They're
into my
measuring,
eyes.
Aren't they?
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Hush up.
Nothing.
4K.
Just George and I talking.
4K all day. It's a nice number. It's nice.
As I'm joking with you, I don't even own a 4K TV because I haven't bought into the hype yet. So just know that I'm just busting.
I can't wait to get a 3D TV. I hear that's the next big thing. I'm very excited.
All my TVs are 3D, and I've used it one time the first week I bought these TVs.
Yeah. I have glasses. They have a thick inch of dust on the 3D glasses because I've never used them.
Are your glasses powered or not powered?
They're all powered. They're battery powered.
Okay. I have an LG TV. The non-powered ones are better than the ones that are on my Samsung.
The real,
powered.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and I just gave up.
And I should announce now in the new studio. We thought about immersive video, but we've decided to make everything 3D from now on. So all of our video will be 3D. Look at that.
Are you being serious?
I hope you're joking.
I was going to ask. I was like,
that
why?
Really, you guys just like.
I can't tell.
I didn't want to make fun of you until I realized it was real or not.
How do you like me now?
I just wanted to make sure.
So immersive.
I can't wait. No, we're not going to do that, actually.
I would like to see a VR camera, though. Yeah, at some point.
We will. No, we'll do VR. In fact, I think in the design of the new studio, we're kind of cognizant of the idea that at some point in the next year or so, everything will be some of the stuff we do will 360. So we have to look good all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Ooh, okay. Day, man. Isaac Hayes joining us now.
I had to put on my 3D glasses so I can see.
Who's the man?
Do it again.
Won't cop out.
Wait. Here, you can see Leo now in 3D. I got him. Wait. Let's just, there we go.
Wait a minute. Why do you have a cutout of me?
That's what I'm woeing for. Because really sad.
Where'd that come from?
What's going on?
That is weird.
What?
Oh. Do you do little shows? Little puppet shows? You got Megan and Leo.
Megan did a. We did one of the tech news. We did a like make your own iPhone screen thing. Go to the dollar store. And we made our own iPhone cases, and so I made a whole bunch of cases. I have my like fuzzy case. I had my little sprinkly like case with all the little stones all over it, and then I ended up making my Leo and Megan case. So this was stuck on the back of my case for a while. There we go.
Did people ask you why do you have that strange couple on the back of your phone?
I didn't actually take it out into the wild, so I can't tell you.
Somebody made me this back when 3D was going to be the next big thing. They made me a 3D of me. That is really weird, huh?
First of all, that's really scary. But
what,
also,
do you have a what's happening there?
It's a microphone.
What happened?
I think it's very realistic. I don't know why I'm eating the microphone. I think that there was an error. The printer, the 3D printer, had a problem.
It looks like Dexter. That's how Dexter would kill you.
Yeah.
Were they angry at you, Leo?
I don't know why they chose this image of all the images. They could make
take that microphone and shove it.
Yeah, it's very realistic. That's my profile. except for
that
the microphone
great, except
in my
for
mouth.
The microphone part.
Yeah.
Georgia, you got to get rid of those voodoo dolls. I don't know what you're
stick
you
a pin in this.
Allow those to stick around. Yeah. That's not safe.
Yeah. Anyway, October 13th, you'll get a chance if you want it. Now I'm I was all set, Devinder, to buy the PlayStation VR, but now I'm thinking, okay, no, I guess not. But Devinder says
they,
no.
Let's just wait. There's news that they might announce a new hardware. If they announce a new hardware,
the 4.5 version.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Devinder.
I have the Vive. I don't. I should probably just enjoy that a little more.
You're good.
You have to play Battle Dome on the Vive.
Battle Dome? No, that's another game.
You have to play Battle Dome.
Battle Dome.
Halo.
You know I don't trust Georgia because she's liked everything. She said yes to every single game. She's just on board. She is drunk off the Kool-Aid. She is fully sauced and can't be trusted.
Not every game is good. No, I won't say that every single game on it is good.
How often, how much time do you spend in your Vive?
So I have spent more time gaming in the last 3 weeks than I have probably in the last 5 years.
Wow.
So
that means you're not a gamer, and I can't trust you.
Oh, this is like...
No. I'm a gamer. I'm actually a gamer. I'm not like one of those false gamers. Like, I game. I like MMO, game, Halo. I'm in there.
Okay.
I really game.
Just so this looks like a laser tag game, kind of, not...
It is like... It's like paintball. It really is paintball.
Oh, that's what you said. Yeah.
You go around on the floor. So it's like Splatoon, where you have to... You get the colored floor, which... You have to like take over territory, so that's what you can travel to, and then you have to shoot the opposing team and then kill their core. It doesn't look beautiful, but it is a blast to play. Plus, everyone else that you're playing with, this is not with AI. You're playing with other Vive players.
So it's an MMO.
Plus, you can talk to them. Not really. Like, yeah, you're there with other people, but like, you know, this is more like Halo, with like, you know, you're actually battling each other.
But the other people are online. They're not in.
They are. Yeah.
Oh,
they're
interesting.
They're all online, and you see them.
I would like that, actually.
Buy a PlayStation, Uncle Leo, so you can play God of War, we could play Injustice together and be friends.
I'm not a gamer. Unlike Georgia Dow, I'm a fake gamer.
Yeah.
I like Minecraft. You want to play Minecraft?
I can let Leah can play with you Minecraft. She's junked out. She's cracked out on Minecraft.
That'll be fun in VR, for sure. Yeah.
I actually would love to play. I played a little Minecraft VR because they have a Gear VR version of Minecraft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. If that happened, kids would just...
It
like,
does. You can do it. And you can move around, and it's
that's such a scary thing.
Yeah, Michael, when my 13-year-old, I showed it to him. He was in it for an hour or two. He couldn't stop.
Yeah, I just feel like you'd lose your children. Like they,
for sure. Expect that to be a launch game for whatever VR. Yeah, Microsoft ties to the Scorpio thing next year.
You bet.
That's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Twitter invests in SoundCloud. SoundCloud really, I thought, was almost on its last legs. Which is a shame because it's a great service and I really love it. The Berlin company has been losing money like crazy, looking for people to keep it afloat. Twitter invested $70 million as part of a round that should end up in the $100 million range, valuing SoundCloud at $700 million. I hope we save SoundCloud because I think it's really important. And I think actually it's a nice match with Twitter, to be honest.
I love SoundCloud.
Yeah. I think a lot of artists have discovered that they can reach an audience on SoundCloud very effectively. In fact, I look at my 21-year-old. He spends a lot of time listening to SoundCloud, of all things.
I suppose I could see some like better SoundCloud integration in Twitter eventually. Like
exactly.
They have been pushing more and more media into tweets, so that could be cool.
Yeah.
As Twitter figures itself out still, but yeah.
I was going to say, Twitter's got its own work to do also.
Here's the exciting secret sauce. Twitter's now going to let advertisers target users based on emojis.
My God.
No.
It starts.
It has begun. You're not real happy, Owen, but I'm sorry.
Owen's gonna be fine. He doesn't use them. He won't be targeted for anything.
Advertisers.
I'm going to get targeted because you're going to tweet at me, so you better hush your mouth, Missy. No,
they're using it as an example. If you tweet a pizza emoji, a pizza restaurant can come send you a little gift coupon for a delicious slice of deep dish. Say, why look at that on the screen when you could actually be eating it? Twitter says 110 billion emojis have been tweeted in the last 2 years. 110
but they don't
billion.
Understand the way that emojis are used. Because, like, the idea of emoji, like, I don't use emojis because, like, if I send, like, a goat with, like, a little, like, gas symbol afterwards, that's not because I like gaseous goats.
There's an emoji for that?
So. Well, you put them together.
You put them together.
Elaborate.
You put the together with the goat. Yeah. But actually, any emoji could have a... Yeah, okay, never mind.
You could. You could. Yeah. Yes. But that's not because I love goats or emojis. Like Owen's black heart, it's not because I want then suddenly to be investing.
Well, that's exactly right.
I think it's not the right way to target advertising.
Context is everything. They've got to do emotion analysis on what you're doing with that emoji. You may hate pizza.
I might be saying, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, one more way advertising can misrepresent you and send the wrong message.
They're desperate for everything.
It's just anything. Anything we can do.
Throw them a bone.
Anything we can
throw
do.
Throw them a bone. Fair enough.
What is that? I'm sure they have gift analysis going pizza? On too.
Yeah.
Is it Domino's or something? You could tweet at them and they deliver you pizza. You could order from a tweet.
I met yesterday the guy who writes the Domino's app was in here in the studio.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that. I think that's pretty cool. I'm not a fan of Domino's pizza, but I didn't tell him that. But very digital first. You could order Domino's on your Amazon Echo, right? Mm-hmm.
They got their little robot delivering pizzas. They got the pizza delivery car.
I guess if your pizza tastes like crap, you got to have something to get people interested in it.
Well, they're not advertising.
I mean, not now they aren't. Never again.
Probably your only choice in much of America.
What are you eating there? What kind of pizza is that there?
I'm all about local. This is some homegrown pizza.
There you go.
Local's always the best. You don't want chain pizzas not off the chain. That's good.
That looks good.
That does look good. You're making me hungry.
I'm getting hungry. Don't say that.
And they overordered pizzas and they sent everybody home with like two pizzas.
That's my dream.
The best.
I have fantasies like that. Wow. Oh, they overordered pizzas. Please have one.
Yeah. Literally, they were shoving pizzas in people's faces.
Better than
sex. Well, I'm taking one. You don't have to worry about it.
See, I like the oven pizza where it's like, you know, actually cooked.
Papa Murphy's take and bake kind of thing. Yeah, no.
No, I like it like it's just, you know, real wood, fire.
Or you make your own.
I don't. I like to go to places, though, that they have like a real pizza oven for like, you know, with the wood inside of it. And it's.
Excuse me. I've just been informed off the chain is good, not bad.
Yeah.
Whatever I was saying, I take it back. It's the opposite. I'm on the chain. Is that what you say? I'm on the chain. Is that what the kids say?
Lord help me.
I'm on the chain. I'm on the chain. Our show today brought to you. Our show today brought to you by Braintree Mobile App Development. Tough. You're doing Domino's. You got enough problems getting that pizza and all the pictures and stuff. You don't want to do, and you shouldn't be doing, the e-commerce built into it. No, no, no. That's why you can use Braintree. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. With Braintree, you can accept every kind of payment on any kind of device. One easy integration. You get Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, Bitcoin. Yeah, you can Bitcoin if you want. And you get the control panel, lets you check the boxes you want. The thing is, your customers trust it. They've seen it before. It's not like you're not leaving the app to do the e-commerce. 70% of mobile shopping carts are abandoned before they click pay. That's not what you want. Braintree eliminates that problem. So it's easy for you to use. It's a full stack payment solution. It's secure, great fraud protection. Your customers love it. They know it because they've used it. They've used it. If you ever see the buyable pins from Pinterest, that's Braintree. If you have ever taken an Uber or a Lyft, they use Braintree, both of them. Hotels Tonight, Airbnb, Braintree. GitHub uses Braintree. Simple, secure payments, code you can integrate in quickly. Android, iOS, JavaScript, .NET, Node.js, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, Ruby. It's elegant code. You can integrate it with just a few lines. There's no reason for you to write this from scratch. Go talk to the boss. If you're the boss, you got it. You got it. Braintreepayments.com/twit. And the boss will like this part. Your first $50,000 in payments fee free. Braintree. All right. A couple of leftover crusts. Just want to mention Spam King Sanford Wallace. This guy has been spamming us for decades now. As an example, in 4 days, over three user sessions from November 2008 to February 2009, he sent 27 million spam messages to more than 500,000 Facebook users. He's been doing it since 1995. He's been sued many times, lost many judgments. In fact, total damages assessed against King approach $1 billion, but now he's doing time. He's going to do 2.5 years of time. I think we all agree this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And by the way, not only is he going to have to undergo mental health treatment, 5 years of probation once he's released, but he cannot own or use a computer without the permission of the court ever again.
Wait, I wonder where this court was. Where is this court at?
San Jose? U.S. District Court?
Apparently out in California, they're letting dudes get away with a lot of things with 6 months in prison with 3 months probation.
And this
guy got 2.5 years and 5 years probation. That's literally disgusting.
Spam is worse than assault.
Apparently. That's embarrassing.
The problem for me isn't the 2.5 years for the spam guy.
It's the six months for the other guy. And I try to say that to people when I complain about that. People, I'm like, no, I want more time for him. I don't want other criminals to get
not less time for Spamford Wallace.
Yeah. 5 years. The cycle vow is the big thing, I guess, if they think he's crazy or whatnot.
Well, golly, he's been doing it since 1995. I mean, what kind of... Georgia, you're a psychotherapist. What does the DSM-3 say for somebody who's been spamming for 20 years?
It would really all depend on why he spams.
Maybe he likes the attention.
He's angry. It's attention.
Yeah. All right.
So you'd have to go through it and have to take a look at what type of spam he sends to people.
Or maybe he just likes to make money.
I don't know. How is he making money out of this spam? Is it for
Oh, I'm sure he's making money. Lonely Girl 15. What the hell is her damage? She's back. This was the web series, remember 10 years ago, that everybody at first, kind of fell for this. They thought it was real. They thought this was in 2006. She was a YouTube user, Lonely Girl 15. It was about a 16-year-old girl named Bree who was in her bedroom making faces. And then the story got darker. She seemed like she might be in a cult. She was going to be doing a ceremony. Her parents went missing. She and her boyfriend went on the run. And pretty soon people started to figure out, wait a minute. This is an actress. This is fake. Well, I guess everybody knows it's fake, but it's coming back.
Why would you announce it? Why not just do some new fake thing?
I know.
Trick everybody
because,
and make it awesome.
Because she wants the attention from people now that she's announced it to go find out what is she about. So it's, again, another attention grab all over again. Because people will. They'll be linking down to her Facebook page and taking a look at what new videos she has.
One thing. Lonely Girl 15 uses Linux. Okay? I'm just saying. Just pointing that out. It's Ubuntu, but I'll forgive her that.
And we brought her back full circle.
Pseudo-ovaltine-care-package.mov. She's in down. She's pseudo SU. I don't know what's going on. This is some straight. Am I watching the right video?
Linux Girl 15.
What the heck is going on here? Is this it? Oh, that's her.
There she is.
Being selected can be a very frightening thing, and it's okay to be afraid. When I was selected, I was terrified.
Oh, it's back to that cult thing.
The ceremony, and my friends thought something would happen to me. Nothing happened to me.
It's not quite the same now that she's in her 30s.
It's not the same after you know that the first part was all.
That was my point.
Yeah. Should we? But I mean, on the one hand, it was a really interesting experiment in narrative, in fiction. I think it's kind of inappropriate to pretend it's real. But it was an effective, it worked. People were kind of.
Why was it inappropriate to pretend it's real? Haven't you watched Guardians of the Galaxy? I assume that was real, but they.
No, but you know that's fake.
You know that Guardians of the Galaxy, I might be breaking this to some people, but Guardians of the Galaxy actually is fake, and everyone knows that.
Are you
sure?
On the other hand, The Bachelorette pretends to be real. Is The Bachelorette real?
But to try to dupe people emotionally, it's kind of like emotional extortion. Like you're like,
I agree.
Think that someone's real, and then to find out it's not, it's just, and then people that do this usually have really complex psyches and needs for something for that attention as to why that they're doing it. And that's also probably really sad as well, because it doesn't go away. Those are one of those hard personality traits to get out of when you really want to get attention, and you'll get it through this situation. And then after, when you lose it, then you feel this horrible sadness because you're not getting the attention that you need and crave for whatever reasons in your own, childhood and relationships that you don't have on itself.
Is that why women are still watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette? Because
they're living vicariously
how that's still
through
on TV.
they're living vicariously through the characters, so they're getting emotionally involved with the characters. Are there, like, I don't like The Bachelor, but I have to say, sorry about that.
It's okay.
I've got, like, doorbells and, like, my schnauzer's going crazy. She's actually Shih Tzu, but anyways. So I understand, like, I'm emotionally invested in Game of Thrones. Is that any worse than, you know, being emotionally invested in The Bachelor?
Like, by the definition of what you just said, Game of Thrones is fake, and I know that's fake. The Bachelor and the Bachelorette tell me that 37 dudes love one woman, and one woman could love 37 dudes until she gets down to the last two dudes, cries, gets a rose, and then goes off to have
all reality TV is carefully curated to make it more emotional, more interesting. It's definitely a hoax. But it does. I mean, Survivor, too. They promises it acts as if, no, this really happened. But some of it is even scripted. I mean, it's not. So that's just as disingenuous, I guess. But
The Bachelor's are promising those stories are told through editing, too, rather than
a lot of it is. Yeah, you don't have to script it if you control the edit. You got everything you need
for sure. Like, I don't watch too many reality shows, but Project Greenlight, the last season that was on, was kind of incredible. Just like following
that
along, even though I know that wasn't.
Well, you're into movies, that's why, right?
Yeah, it was so good.
It was good though. It had a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Going
there was
on
great,
and
like
it felt like
drama.
I was like, oh,
well, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't watch it. It's about what people trying to get green lighted for their movie, right? Or their
I haven't really watched. Yeah, it's basically that. Like, an independent filmmaker gets the ability to, like, make his movie, and it kind of follows that journey. This season is a little different from some of the others, and I think it says a lot about Hollywood and kind of like how. I don't know, we're approaching diversity and how we're bad at it and how Hollywood is really terrible at certain things. And features one of the best young producers out there right now, too.
I want to point out a full moon is coming, and with it, the summer solstice. This is our last. That's not it. That's just a picture of the screen.
Wow.
And it's, you know what? Nice job, Ryan Burnett. That really looks like we're looking out, and that's what you see. That, my friends, is Ubuntu.
That's how I look out the window.
Yeah. In 24 hours, it will be summer. This is our last show of the spring. I hope you enjoy. Apparently, it's going to be a heat wave in Southern California. That's why I'm headed down there. 108 degrees tomorrow. We're going to do with the Universal Studios. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait. But I'll be back in time for the show next week. Don't you worry. I want to thank you all for being here. Oh, Dr. Owen J.J. Stone, happy Father's Day to you. And thank you for sharing your beautiful daughter with us. Well, she's great.
Give me my 30 seconds. I usually go last when I tell people stuff.
That's why you're going first today.
I'm going first. So first of all, happy Father's Day to me. I'm one of the greatest fathers that have ever walked this planet. And if you didn't know it, I'm telling you so you can believe that.
I do.
Take it to the bank and tell your dad.
I do.
Secondly, if you love anybody and you haven't told them that it's 2016, the year of everybody passing away, call them on the phone and tell them that you love them. Call your brother, call your best friend, call your semi-best friend, call the neighbor and tell them that you love them, because tomorrow is not promised. It is a dangerous world we live in.
It's true.
Terrorism aside, there's car accidents, there's people passing out, I'm eating too much pizza, I might have a heart attack right now. So tweet me and tell me that you love me, and just know that I love you too, and share that love throughout the world.
You know, we would be so sad if this were your last show ever, and I had to come on tomorrow and say I have some very sad news. I would be terrible. Owen J.J. Stone was crushed by a pizza last night.
Death by pizza.
The best thing about my passing, Uncle Leo, is that I am a national treasure. And the day that I go, you will have another day off in your year.
I will.
So, reaffirming, call somebody, tell them that you love them, and do it. Oh, and you can find out George's real name if you listen
to it. Yes, IQMZ.com.
People just
forget.
It is so good. Nobody forgets.
Kentucky Dow.
And then Twitter. Oh, the Southern Belle is so amazing. You're going to find out.
Wait a minute.
I'm your boy.
So you implied that Mississippi was really close.
Oh, man, all the Southern states.
All the Southern states. Let's see.
Oh, man, wait till you see, Uncle.
Wait a minute. It's not Alabama, Dow.
Wait till you see.
Alabama!
It's better than all of those things. It is so awesome.
Tennessee, Dow. She looks like a Tennessee. She does look like a Tennessee.
Oh, she should have never told me. I'm like the worst person to tell. She was like, I've never actually admitted this to anyone. And I'm like, and you're telling me?
Not just telling you, with a microphone and a podcast.
I false sense of security. I make everybody feel good when they're hanging out with the sugar bear. Best dad in the world.
All right, I know. It's Mulva.
Was it?
No?
Right from a Seinfeld.
Mulva. Yeah. Dolores.
Oh.
Oh, no. It's got to be Virginia. It's got to be Virginia.
It's so much better than these. Wait till you.
Georgia.
I can't wait.
Chechnya.
See, now everybody, listen, my number's going to spike through the roof. This is awesome.
Uzbekistan now.
Oh, it's great.
All right. Thank you, Doctor. Always a thrill and pleasure. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hotlanta Dow is at anxiety-video.com, where she puts all those great videos up. You must check them out. Of course, she writes regularly for imore.com. Even takes some of those styling pictures of stacked up iPhones in rose gold. Are you? You should do a. You know what you should do is a virtual reality podcast.
Well, now we have VR heads. So
VR heads.
VR heads is the virtual reality site that we have now.
Cool.
So who knows if they have a podcast and they need someone else on it? I'll definitely talk about VR for a while as well. Just because,
awesome. Thank you for joining us, Texas.
Owen,
it's so amazing. Owen. Like you know how when somebody just you have a lottery ticket and they tell you the number and it's your number.
What?
That is the joy in my heart when I'm just like
Georgia, Mississippi Dow.
Guess
your name.
Not my smartest.
And friend. By the way, not many people know this, but Devendra's real name is Sam.
Yes. Very, very simple.
Devendra Hardawar. Yeah. Great to have you, senior editor at Engadget Magazine. Anything exciting anything you want to warn us about? It's coming down the pike. Exciting, fresh, hot news
coming
stuff.
Coming down the pike? Yeah. I mean, I feel like we just went through a big wave of news, right? WWDC, all of E3. Like, there was just so much stuff. So, we're going to have some reviews, maybe some of the stuff we saw at Computex, actually, some of those Asus ZenBook.
Oh, I like those. I love
that thing looked cool. Yeah. I felt it was super, super light, just really thin, as light as the MacBook with the Core i5 and Core i7.
I also
kind of insane.
Should point out that Google said that we would get the Google Play Store, the Android software in June on at least 3 Chromebooks, including the Pixel, and I'm waiting to see that. I wouldn't be surprised if sometime this week that
it's on that, one that of them right now.
Is it out now?
Yeah, it's on one laptop. I think it's an Acer. I can't.
Isn't that weird? It's not on the Pixel. You'd think it'd be on theirs.
Yeah. It's. I can imagine they're gonna roll that out soon. But everyone's just sitting tight and waiting for the impending Apple announcements in the fall. Hopefully, we can have a calm summer. I think so.
We're gonna relax.
Yeah,
thank you all for being here. We had a great studio audience. You guys are fantastic. If you want to be in the studio audience, just email tickets at twit.tv, and we'll be glad to put a chair out for you. If you can't be here in person, you can always watch us stream live. Everything we do is streamed live at twit.tv/live or live.twit.tv. And this particular show is Saturday afternoons, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 22 Sundays. Did I say Saturday? I'm sorry. Sunday afternoon. 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC. You can also get all the shows on demand. If you're as confused as I am about when we do these things, no problem. Just go to twit.tv and you'll find all our shows. Or subscribe in your favorite podcatcher and you'll be able to listen each and every week. And I hope you will. Thank you for joining us and we'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.